Welcome to Everyday Drinkers, episode number 39, Pale Ale. We also ask you to respect the laws, drink responsibly, and please, please don't be stupid. I'm your host, Derek Schomer. Today, we're kegging it up with Doug, we've got Dave, and we've got Kate.
What did you put?
What?
Wait, what are we doing
Pale
together?
Ale. Oh, we're kegging,
kegging
it. Yeah,
we're kegging it.
Yeah. It's a verb.
Oh, damn. Okay, it's a verb?
It is now.
All right.
We, to be kegging. You know, like
I keg, you keg, he kegs, conjugate keg.
Right.
All right.
I kegged Dave in the hole the other night.
It's almost as versatile as fuck. Awesome.
No, yes, except for completely different connotation.
No, that's cool.
There's no penises when you're kegging. They stay in your pants. Just saying.
Maybe we should introduce penises to kegging then.
If you did, things would be a lot more enjoyable for some people and less for others. Because I don't like a lot of penises in my face.
It took 2 minutes to get into dick jokes.
I know. Not even 2 minutes, dude. It's 1:28.
Awesome.
Yeah. I don't know where that's going to show up in the episode, but I'm guessing not at the beginning. I don't know.
Move along.
All right, let's move along.
Nothing to see here.
Yes. So today, I bought three different brews. Did I bring the freaking... I hope I brought the ones with the prices on them, because it was insane. What the hell is this? Did I buy a harpoon? No. That was from like a couple episodes ago. I got another harpoon. I don't know where these harpoons are coming from. But anyway, so what I did is I went out, I bought three different...
Worst euphemism ever.
I know. So I didn't really know what I was doing. So what I did is I drew up the notes first, then I went out and bought beer. And really it's because I did it in the wrong order. I forgot about the show when I was shopping, and then I remembered later. So I did what again? So I went out at halftime today and I picked up some beer. I don't know. I think I might have spent more than the average Joe for this. What I did is I kind of rolled Sam Adams Pale Ale. So all mine are American ales, only because I couldn't find any really good UK ales, and I didn't really want to buy Bass. I thought that was already going to be done, so I didn't go that direction. I keep thinking I bought Stella because it's in the Stella glass. So
that's kind of ironic, because aren't the UK people always saying, oh, you cannot get a good American Pale Ale?
Maybe you can't. And I'm here to find out.
You definitely can, but I think most of the time they kind of turn their nose down at the American.
We did win, right? So so it was 200 years ago, but still. So I got the Samuel Adams Boston Ale. No, Boston Pale Ale. So this is, you know, right from the places that took over and claimed independence against these bastards. No, just kidding. So the Sam Adams Pale Ale, I don't remember the last time I had this. It apparently it's part of the Brewmaster's collection. I bought it in a 6-pack, but I don't know. I also got the UFO Pale Ale because I thought that would be neat to represent UFO, because that's it's always a fun brand. Oh, it is Harpoon. That's probably why I have an H on one of these things over here. Okay, so I do have apparently a Harpoon, and I don't know how much it cost me. I think it was $1.79 for that one beer because I found a single. And then people, I went crazy. I got the Double Dog Double Pale Ale. This is a 4-pack. It cost me like $13 or something. I don't know.
That's going to be revolting, I'm going to predict.
11.5% ABV.
Yeah.
Damn.
So I figured I wanted to, and there was barley wine was my other choice, but I didn't go with the barley wine. So what I wanted to do is hit up the Boston style, the standard Sam Adams Pale Ale interpretation. I wanted to go with the Harpoon because they're kind of competitors, I think. Do you guys think the Harpoon and Sam Adams are kind of at the same level?
Yeah, kind of. They're both mass market breweries that kind of try to retain the microbrewery thing.
Right. So, I mean, it seems justified. So I want that. And then I just went all crazy. I didn't go crazy enough to go to barley wine because I figure I could do an entire episode on barley wine, so I didn't want to ruin it. And I went with the crazy-ass 11.5%. Doug, what did you do?
Dude, I tried to keep it as simple as I possibly could, which really pissed me off because, like, I was walking around and I went to the place where you can get almost anything and everything, the beer store. I was walking around and I was like, all right, pale ale, IPA, IPA.
Yes.
IPA.
Isn't that
and
a problem?
And then it dawned on me. I was like, everybody's making fucking IPAs. You can't even get a fucking pale ale anymore. You can't.
Yeah, but it is.
There's like four.
That's the problem. But IPA is a pale ale. It's just the only version anybody seems to make.
Exactly.
That eye gives them an excuse to jam as many hops as humanly possible into the beverage.
They're fucking it up. They're fucking up beer. There's perfectly decent beers out there. Then they're like, hey, why don't we just put some more hops in it? And like, and then somebody in the brewery is going, well, maybe we kind of shouldn't because, you know, there's kind of like a hop shortage and we kind of don't really know why. They're not making us much. Here's the reason there's a fucking hop shortage in the world. It's because everybody's making fucking IPAs.
And I see Dave editing his notes to put IPA in front of everything.
Well, they are, actually. I forgot.
Is there really a hop shortage?
Yeah, there's a hop shortage.
There is.
And it's funny.
Things I try not to make up.
I see guys in the corner.
It sounded like something you would. So.
If you made it up and were rolling with it, you were doing a good job.
Yeah, that was awesome. I totally believed it.
You know, I had read that, and it makes things go up in price. There's also, my father said that he's been buying hops. I think it's been hops locally rather than like the ones in the UK, just because the difference in price is just so substantial that you can make a like British style ale with American style hops and save yourself a crap ton of money. So that's what he's been doing. I don't know how these guys do it. I guess there's wherever the magical hop fairy is in the US, these guys are consuming it all. But I, however, found tons of pale ale. I could go through a huge selection. I had a hard time. I saw Sierra Nevada and I said, I'm going to look for a single because I'd like to get a single of it. I didn't want a six pack. I knew I was going to walk out with three beers and I didn't want 3 6 packs. So when I dug through the singles, that's when I saw the UFO and it said pale ale across the front. I was like, oh, it's a sign, right? But
yeah, it's a sign that they didn't overhop something in theory.
But it's a whole lot easier to walk in there looking for a pale ale because I always had the IPA to fall back on than it was, say, a red ale or, you know, some of these other, or a barley wine even, where you're looking at maybe one, maybe two, or a lambic. If you want to get all crazy, it's a lot harder to find them. If you're looking for a pale ale or some derivative thereof, you should be able to find it, I think. I was actually looking for a different...
When you say derivative thereof...
Like,
yeah, I mean, it's so easy to find an IPA.
Yeah, an IPA or Scotch ale or any of these things that kind of fall into the same category. But we could talk about categories later. Let's see. So you have, what did you never tell me? You were too busy talking about all your fucking hop problems. What are you drinking tonight?
I almost got there. I got two. I went local with one of them, the Carolina Pale Ale, which comes out of Carolina Brewing Company here in Holly Springs, North Carolina. It was actually the very first beer that I bought when I moved to North Carolina 10 years ago, and it's still one of my favoritest beers that I can get around here.
Isn't it most favorite?
I'm sorry?
Isn't it most favorite? I don't know if favoritist is a word. Is it? Anybody want to do a check on that?
It's definitely not.
Okay. Go ahead, Doug. Continue.
Whatever. Still my fucking favoritist. Fuck off. And I also picked up Fire Rock Pale Ale, which is Kona Brewing Company, Portsmouth, New Hampshire, for Kona Brewery, Kona, Hawaii.
What? We have a Portsmouth brewery called Kona Brewing from Hawaii?
Apparently you do.
That's cool.
I can see where, you know, you'd get tired of all that really nice weather and you'd want to go somewhere just real shitty.
You know, Dave, I'm going to think that they followed the dollars on this one. Where they're like,
not the weather patterns,
right? I was thinking maybe their owner that's in Hawaii is like, you're gonna go open a store in New Hampshire or a brewery. The key word here is your.
Yeah, that's, live free or die, fucker. See ya.
I'm gonna sit on the island and I'm gonna drink Mai Tais. Fuck beer. That's the funny thing is Kona would not be the place I would have thought would contain any type of brewery. Now there's a lot of land because it's all lava, but there's a lot of stone. But I didn't think I've been to Kona.
I think something on the label says something about lava or volcano. Oh, it says active volcanoes on the Big Island of Hawaii leave visitors awestruck by their power. The glow of lava as it meets the ocean is blah, 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 malted taste, aloha. Anyway,
listen,
live free or aloha, motherfuckers.
I've driven through Kona to go see those lava thingies, and I wasn't awestruck. I was like, okay, I think there might be some glow over there. Oh, yeah, that's a lava, but you can't get that close because it's dangerous. I'm like, what? What are you talking about? I want to step up and like throw a bottle cap in to see if it melts. You know, shit like that. Let you do that.
And that's why they don't let you close to the lava.
Because people just want to throw shit in it to see if it melts. Like it's not.
Like my brother, you know, people just throwing shit in. Who knows? Yeah, I guess that's...
I wonder if this is going to catch on fire if I throw it in lava.
Okay, I see where you come from. Maybe it would have. I was just going on a theory. So that's cool. So you got a New Hampshire Portsmouth brewery from Kona in North Carolina. I think I follow that.
Yeah. I'm global and shit.
Yeah, that's great that you're global. You're a fucking world traveler right there. Traveling the world with your hops.
I'm traveling the world in my mouth.
Oh, whoa.
Heard that about you, Doug.
You've got mouth herpes.
Oh, come on. We didn't need to go.
He just ruined that whole visual.
No, I made it better.
Okay.
All right. So, Kate, speaking of visuals, what are you visualizing right now?
Doug's mouth.
Yeah, really.
And herpes.
It was a really good, interesting attempt at a segue, but failed.
Yeah. I have no idea where to even go with that.
Okay. How about what are you drinking?
Okay. Sierra Nevada Pale Ale.
See?
From Chico, California.
That stuff is your staple pale ale right there.
It actually is a very, very good pale ale. I don't know. Doug might disagree with me on that, but
I would not disagree with you. Oh, it was really? Everything that I could do not to pick up Sierra Nevada.
Me too. Yeah. I had a feeling we were going to end up with like five people doing it, so I didn't do it. Oh. But thankfully, you did it. Otherwise, we would look pretty stupid. Like, Sierra Nevada. Yeah, I forgot about it. It's out of store.
Yeah, so very, very, very good pale ale, but we'll get into my review later.
All right, Dave, what the fuck are you drinking?
I got one interesting one and one not so interesting one. The interesting one is Victory Hop Devil, which is an India Pale Ale.
Yeah.
And the not so interesting one is a Harpoon IPA. And I meant to ask, how much stock do you guys put into the Best Buy tags on a beer?
Like Best If Sold By?
Yeah.
Dude, I would. Because what I do is I put it in my refrigerator for 4 years. So if it's been on the shelf for three... Think about that. That's like 4, 5, 7 years before I drink that beer.
Yeah, this is a vintage Harpoon IPA, apparently. It says Best Buy 8/15/09.
Oh, yeah, but that's only a year.
So, yeah, I'm a year past.
Dude, I've drank winter lagers 2 years into the summer of a drink. I mean, it just, if you get floaties, then it's just a little overdone.
I don't see any chunks in the bottle, so I think I'm good to go, but we'll see. So you can tell how often I drink IPAs.
Well, what's your problem with IPAs?
It's the hop thing. Harpoon's not going to be in that category, but this other one,
Hop Devil,
some words about.
You think that might be in the hop category?
I think it might. It might.
All right, then. So what I did is I tried to consult a couple different sources so that I didn't get stuck just reading a wiki. But there was some pretty good stuff. The wiki tends to bring you to the right places. And then Google, for instance, if you Google how is pale ale made or any of these weird things... It sucks. It comes up with the wiki, and then the second one's like the definition. You go to the definition, is like, here's the definition defined by the wiki. I'm like, come on, Wikipedia again. So it's, you're gonna like dig through it.
By the way, have you noticed this real time search result stuff in Google?
Yes, I think it's okay, except for it moves my bar around.
Yeah, I find that a little bit disturbing because it's almost like predicting what I'm gonna search for, and it's usually right.
Right.
So you know Google has recorded every single search you've ever done.
Right.
Well, it's frightening.
No, not if you log out.
Yeah, but I don't log out because I always have my mail up.
Oh, yeah. Or you
so
do
I don't like
search.
To log out. And then I'm like searching for things and I'm like, huh, this is definitely getting attached to my name.
Yeah, so their motto is what, do no evil or whatever, but I'm pretty sure that someday they're going to pull some Skynet bullshit on us and just take over the world.
Do no evil. Top search. Do no anal. You know,
I would like to, wait, and y'all might feel differently about this, but
no,
I'm always happy like when I'm typing something in Google and it comes up with what I'm looking for because it means I'm not the first one to look for that.
Yeah, but when you type how do and it's like babies come from and then like make this and how do you make a paper airplane or the Zeppelin, you know, it's just weird shit flies up sometimes when you type the common terms and you let it complete it.
Hold on.
Now, I know I'm not the only one who's tried this. But
how to masturbate?
There is a filtering list.
Oh, no.
So if you type like boob, for example, you won't get any results back until you hit the enter button.
How to boob? Yes. Oh, I'll have to turn that off.
Boob, you boob, he, she, boobs. We're learning all about verbs tonight.
Verbs, yay!
Well, what it seemed to be doing, and I don't know if I was just going through too quickly or what, but it seemed to be actually changing the search results as I was typing.
It does.
Yes.
I don't like that at all.
I can't imagine how that's good on their servers.
Yeah.
Because it's like doing three times more searches than it really has to, because I'm still trying to figure out what the hell I'm typing.
Yeah, because I was typing something and I saw some search results and I was like, oh, I got to click on that. But I kept typing and then it changed my search results and I was like, ah.
It's like you're looking for web analysis and you're like, web analysis.
Oh, wait, I got to click on that.
Yeah, now I can see why they do filter. Yeah.
It's making our attention spans even shorter. It's just...
I love it. That means I don't have to... You know what's even better? If you go to Amazon, everything it suggests I want to buy. It's perfect. It's perfect. It's like, you want to buy this? I'm like, yes, I do. Stop it. You want to buy this? Holy shit, that's really cool. Yes, Oh, you want to buy a tiki statue? How did you know I like tiki statues? And it's just crazy. I don't know where he gets his information. But whatever. Anyway.
So here's one for you. I actually do a lot of work with cable companies.
Yes.
Do you know that they keep track of every time you change channels?
Why?
Oh my.
Because really? It's really good information.
It depends on where you land.
They have analytics based on it. They you know, supposedly anonymize it so that they can't trace it back to individuals. But basically it tells them, oh, this market area tends to watch this programming, blah, 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 blah.
Then why isn't it selling me?
This market area appears not to change the channel when there are boobs on it.
Dude, there's so many things that could be.
Males 18 to 99.
Yeah. Why 18? Why not 13?
Yeah, right. That's true. I remember watching Skinamax when I was a kid. So yeah,
you're like trying to get it in when it's all staticky. But no.
Or when they would have the scrambling.
Yes.
And you're like trying to look in between the scrambled lines to find a nipple somewhere.
Right.
You know it's there. You just can't quite find it.
Or what? See, you
just
went
need
that
to
route.
Squint harder.
What I would do is I would just look at the back of the receiver and I figured out how to unscramble it. And then I just, you could watch whatever you want, which is really cool. That's when I found out my father actually hacked the receiver so he could get whatever he wanted. And there was a button on the back that you could fuck around and get it all.
Oh, so I was just playing like the perv version of Where's Waldo looking for the titties.
Right. Did they have like little red hats on them?
And striped shirts.
Yeah. Striped Where's Waldo titties. Yay.
There's probably a fetish out there for that.
That's a pull quote right there.
Hold on. Let me Google it.
Oh, no. Don't worry. It'll dynamically tell you.
Somebody might have searched for it before.
So you just got to hit the right filter, though. Anyway, while you do that, I'm gonna hit you up with some.
Say, hold on. Where? How did we get here?
I don't know. It happened, Dave. That's how.
Don't try to understand it. Just let it wash over you.
Yes, let it splash over your face. All right. So what I did anyway is I looked at the wiki, and the wiki told me all kinds of stuff. And then I went and looked other places. I found out there's different beer categories for pale ale, which is really cool. So they're all top fermented. I think we should have Doug reiterate what that means later, with a pale malt. And it's one of the world's largest major beer styles, which is why we have no problem finding it, except for it all starts with I, it seems. A few pale ale varieties that you could choose from are Amber's, American Pale Ale, where I went all hog wild, English Bitter, which I couldn't find any real good English stuff, just Bass, India Pale Ale, of course, Golden Ale, I'm guessing that's maybe a summertime ale, I don't really know. What makes it golden? Maybe it's just the color. The Irish ale, which is red ale, which is something we did like last time. Then there's the Beer de Garde, or whatever it is, which is what I was looking for at the store because I knew Flying Dog had one. But all they had was the double pale ale and the regular pale ale, and I went with double because why would you buy single when you can get double at double the cost, right?
Why would you buy something you might like to drink if you can pay more for something you hate?
Exactly. Wait. Well, that's what I do here. Sometimes I make sacrifices for the show. So that's what I did. It also counted as a strong pale ale, so I went with that. And it was 11% obnoxious, so I figured it was a good idea. Apparently the pale ale...
11% is crazy
it's a
beer.
Wine at that point. It's almost it's more than an ice wine. It's like a white wine or something. It's like a light wine, which is okay, I guess, maybe, with hops. So I guess the pale ale is a term that they use to explain the process of creating beer from malted malts. Here's the, this is great. Malts dried in Coke. So, first I was like, holy shit, time to do some more research, because what the fuck am I drinking, right? Now I'm like, 11%, I'm going to go buy myself, dehydrate that shit, and sell it on the open market. But, turns out, it's not that way at all. It's some sort of, it's a coal derivative thing that it comes off of, like a coal.
I was going to say, isn't Coke what they use to make steel out of iron?
Yeah, exactly.
And, they, and we're drinking it. Nice.
It's used to, I think, to dry the malts. So it's like peat, right? You can you use something to dry so you can make your scotch. This, you're just using Coke. 1703, that was the time pale ale, the term, was first used. That's pretty cool. It took them, let's see, that's 40. That's a lot of years. It's like 80 years to figure out that what they were doing was called a pale ale. But whatever, I guess it takes that long. We just invented the internet. By 17,
yeah, but what was the average lifespan back then?
I don't know, like 32? Actually, right. 1642? Yeah, it was probably less than that. See, if they had the lifespan,
so it took
we have
generations to figure out what to call something they've been drinking.
Yes, because they only used it because it was safer than water. And then 1784, that's like 81 years into the future, advertisements started to that come up with this light and excellent pale ale. So it took them 84 years to figure out how to market it. And then by 1830, they kind of had this thing with bitter and pale ale, and they were the same thing. So people who made a pale ale assumed that that beer would be bitter. So that goes back to where Dave doesn't like the beer because it's too hopped. Bitter. Hopped. Kind of the same thing.
You know what? I'm okay with bitter. I'll drink bitters as beers, but hops have a
the
floral
aroma
component to them as well.
Yeah, that aroma.
They can. Yeah. It's specific hop varieties. American hops.
Yeah,
American hops are notorious for their floral. When you go European hop, the noble hops, they're not so much.
We're all up in the hizzy. Offense.
It's like a green kind of thing for me.
Yeah, it's like it's a green power.
Yeah.
It's all
a grassy thing. Can it be
Although
grassy?
Nothing can compare to, I met Doug recently down in his home turf, and we had a juniper berry beer.
Oh my God!
It's gonna be disgusting.
Vile.
It's juniper berry. Didn't something ring in your head that goes, "No, stop! This is the stupidest thing I'm ever gonna do this week."
No, actually, it did, and that's why Doug had him bring a sample of it instead of an entire beer.
Oh, this is kind of
like Dave's
flying
like,
dog.
I really want to try this. I want to get a pint of it. I was like, no.
You stopped him. You were the friend. You were the guy that was like, "Hold on, let's not be stupid."
He jumped on that grenade for me. I really appreciate it.
Yeah,
man. That's anything, awesome. Anything for you.
That must have been early on in the night.
Well, Dave makes bad decisions drunk or sober.
No, yeah. But I'm thinking more about Doug's unselfish behavior.
That's true, yes. Doug must not have been. He must have been in his right mind, because if he was drunk, he would have just been like, yeah, fuck yeah, I'll get one too.
And let's pull down our pants while we drink it.
Well, that did happen, but
he's in the bar. I got my juniper berry. Check out my leg hair.
Oh, my God.
I mean, that would be pretty funny. I would pay to see that. Just the reaction. I don't want to see that. I want to see the reaction on everybody's face. Fucking YouTube
too.
That shit. Yeah. Put one of those helmet cams on. A penis cam. Something like that.
Oh, man.
All right. So the Association of Brewers defined American pale ale as having golden to copper color with bitterness and flavors dominated by hops and a low to medium maltiness. So you're looking low hop, high malt. Wait, no. Low malt, high hop. Like that.
I was going to say, reading comprehension fail.
Yeah, I didn't even read that. That was all back reading. Yeah, you're right. It is reading comprehension. Playback. Yeah, playback fail. It happens. Short-term memory loss. I went out to EnglishAleBrewery.com, and they define their English ales as English pale ales. I can't really. I'm just using a higher voice to make sure everybody knows there's a quote here. English pale ales, in this instance, it means copper color as opposed to dark brown, used by some English brewers to distinguish their premium bitters, especially in bottle form. So they've got a completely different definition, which is why I'm fucked, because all I have is the American definition. I'm going to work with it, though. I have a strong ale here, and I have a couple that aren't so strong. So I was looking at the strong ales, and they seem to be pretty potent, but the European definition is nothing like what we do. We take shit, and we always bump it up to the next thing. We're like, what do you got? I could do that better, right? And they're like, oh, well, 5%, you know, something above 5%, maybe 7 or 8, that's kind of, you know, where we consider our strong pale ales. And we're like, fuck you, 12% and up, bitches. You know? Like, I don't know why we have to punish ourselves. So we decided.
Wait. It's not punish. It's enjoy it more. There's a huge difference.
It's you could buy one beer or you could buy five. So we do the well, now mine's only 11%, but they can go, you know, 8% to 12%.
Oh, think of it as we're more efficient.
We learned how to do it the right way. Now, if you go above
we're just
that,
assholes.
Oh, obviously. I mean, that's what we do. I mean, we did kill a bunch of Indians, right? So we're not the nicest people.
Is that where we get the pale ale from?
No, that's where we get the India pale ale from. Get it?
Right. Damn, now I have white guilt. Great.
See?
Thanks, man.
Now, just think about it. Your beer is covered in the blood of history and all of this destruction. Anyway, yeah. Now you could go higher. You can get your barley wines. I didn't go there. Now, I'm wondering if a barley wine made in the U.S. is higher percentage than the one made in Europe because everything seems to be a higher percentage here. We're bigger people. I don't know. I don't understand how that works. But the English strong ale tends to be a bit more malty with a warming alcohol, which is what I think last week. Oh, by the way, I forgot, remember last week's episode where we did last month when we did the red ale and I had the what the fuck was it? The really strong one?
Yeah.
My father liked it.
Really?
Yeah, he's like, "Oh, this is like my beer." I'm like, "What? No."
Really?
Yeah. He enjoyed it. He drank too.
Hey, what is the difference between India pale ale and pale ale anyway?
Not made in India.
Hops.
It's just better.
To answer your question, when beer and ales were made for traveling, at some point, probably 1642-ish, somebody realized that hops actually act as a natural... Huh?
Preservative.
Exactly. As a natural preservative, so the more hops you have in your beer, the less likely it's going to be contaminated by the time it gets to whatever destination. So if you wanted to go and travel for long distances, you put more hops in it, therefore it's not going to end up being spoiled by some kind of bacteria because of the acids that naturally occur in the hops, et cetera, et cetera.
Hey, okay. Doug.
Hey, Derek.
What the hell is that? Did you do something to your wire?
No.
Is it still hanging in front of your head?
All yes. Right.
It would just hiss for a minute, but it went away. Never mind.
Okay, good. I still feel ridiculous, and like I feel like I'm half cross-eyed because like I see the wire in both eyes because it's so close. It sucks.
Kate wasn't here for that. He has his mic taped or clamped to his hat, which has a wire dangling in the front of his face. So it's pretty awesome.
It's clamped.
Yeah. Should get a picture of that up on the website.
Yeah, that'd be great.
Take a photo.
Nerdalicious. Speaking of which, those pictures of you in the R2 beer tube, oh my God, those were the best pictures I've ever seen.
Beer 2D2.
R2 beer 2.
R2 beer 2. Actually, cool. Yeah.
Should both work. Yeah.
Thank you. There was a lot of time and effort that went into that particular.
I don't know who the other individual was, but one of them was wearing a skirt, and I was laughing. Just unbelievable photos.
That was our buddy Truitt. Truitt actually wins the drag race at the Kirby Derby. He's won it four out of
Kirby
the
Derby.
Last or third yeah Kirby Derby. Three out of the past 4 years he wins the drag race
because he's
that's
got
why
a skirt
he wore
on.
A skirt.
Very good stuff.
I thought it was a different type of drag race. I wasn't quite sure where you're going.
No,
whatever.
It's literally drag.
Oh, okay.
Drag race.
Anyway, so a couple of examples that we might not have. Well, we do. We have the Sierra Nevada as your American Pale Ale. Your English Ale would be like a Bass, and then Smithwick's is an Irish Red, which would kind of count.
Smithwick.
What I wanted to do is figure maybe we should bust into a couple brews here since we have them. Do you guys think I should do the high intense one last?
No.
No.
Well, yeah, and you should do it in like 15 seconds.
The whole thing?
The whole thing.
No way. I'm going to throw up my own mouth.
No, you won't.
Dude, that's crazy.
You won't.
Look, oh, you know what I'm going to do? You know what I'm going to do first? I want to do the Samuel Adams, because the Samuel Adams is a nice gold color, and this, I poured all of them, and the crazy freaking double pale ale is, like, brown. And then the UFO, because it's double. And the UFO?
No. Well, yeah, hold on.
Well, it's got a brown label.
When you get there.
Okay. The UFO is unfiltered, and you can tell it looks like the Samuel Adams if you, I don't know, peed in it.
So wait a minute. It's a pale ale, but it's unfiltered?
Yeah, yeah.
That
says right here on the label.
Seems to kind of contradict what
unfiltered
pale ale is.
Pale ale. It says Harpoon's unfiltered offering. It actually says that under the UFO.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I mean, they've got UFO whites and wheat beers and stuff, but I didn't know they did a pale ale.
It's the unfiltered offering.
Got it.
Let me see. I got this Brewmasters here, and what I wanted to do is, I could put some more in here. I'm going to just shake it a little bit so I can get a nice creamy head. That was
yeah.
That was for the show.
Derek just likes to lob them to himself.
Yeah, just see what happens.
Here, I'm gonna set up this joke to myself.
See how it goes. You never know what's gonna happen. That's the best part.
Yeah, you
know. It's usually Dave says something that's completely unlawful and put you in jail in the state of California and Pennsylvania. So. It says the distinctive and refreshing American ale is brewed in the classic style with the finest English ale hops and lightly roasted. Don't know what that means, but it smells like a beer.
Well, no. That's a good start.
It's actually...
It smells like arugula.
Just like that. No,
it smells like a small Frenchman's feet.
It smells kind of malty, actually. I don't really know why. It's got a nice subtle aroma to it. Mm. It doesn't have a huge amount of hops. I think Dave would be happy with this offering here. It's kind of tasty, a little acidic. It's very clear, lots of carbonation, lots of tastiness to it. You know what? I'm not a big, huge fan of their lager. I like their ale. In this, I can't tell you exactly what the difference between this and their standard ale would be unless I put them side by side, and I would have been a better host had I done that, but I didn't, so I'm just a fucktard, and I think
you clearly
nice.
Don't love your audience.
No.
No.
I'm sorry for that. It's got some...
No, you're not.
No, I know. Bastard. It's got some nice carbonated dryness, though, in the finish. And overall, though, it's a very easy to drink. Now, I don't know what you would say to, if you put this in front of, say, a Budweiser or a Miller drinker, if they would think this is too hopped, because I know that doesn't have a lot of hops. It has a little aroma to it, and it's nothing bitter at all. I don't get any bitter. I get a little dry, but not a lot of bitter. And I don't know. I don't know if that would make it a bad rating or not, because it doesn't have a lot of that bite or character to it, and it's an American pale ale using English hops, so maybe that's good. Maybe that's what they're going for. Let's see. Beer Advocate. Oh, it's going to figure it out for me. Beer Advocate says, let's see, it says Sam Adams. Oh, look how it's doing this for me. Summer Ale, Light Ale, Boston Lager, Oktoberfest, Pale Ale. Ooh, it's in the list. What's a Latitude 48? Shit, I can learn all kinds of cool stuff from what Google thinks
What's
I should
Latitude
want.
48? What?
Hey, there's all kinds of crazy stuff here. Ooh, they gave it a B+. Very good. So I am not that far off. I think it's very tasty. There's some people who think it sucks. But I don't know. I think it's very neutral. It's not very bitter. It's like an ale with a little bit of dryness to it and a little bit more aroma. I think like a normal ale has more of that beer smell to it. That, like, I don't know what beer smell is, but, you know, like a beer smell.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Where it doesn't have the floral.
With regard to Sam Adams and anything that they make, the thing that always impresses me with Sam Adams is no matter what they do, they are so good at making the best middle of the road beer of whatever they make.
The one that makes the most money.
Talk to Budweiser about making the most money.
That's true. Well, but, I mean, for their category.
Yeah, exactly. For their category, they make the best middle of the road going towards like Dave's palate or your palate or my palate or Kate's palate, they make beers that you'll drink them and you'll be like, yeah, this is pretty good.
Like the most widely consumed type of taste.
Like if I brought this, I have no doubt, if I brought this to a barbecue or some event where there was more offer there than Budweiser. Like there's those events where you bring those and people are like, who's that guy? What's he drinking? Yeah. And then there's ones where you go and they have the harpoons and all the you know, a whole variety of different drinkers of different palates. I think more people would probably, you know, I wouldn't be afraid to bring this and feel like people think I'm an idiot or I have a weird taste. Like, oh, that's interesting taste you've got there. Like, if I brought the double pale ale, people would look at me and go, you're fucking crazy. Right?
Just for bringing that.
Right. And it would break the bank, you know. But the Sam Adams Pale Ale is so much more of everything. It's crisp, it's clean, it's tasty, it's a little dry, it's got carbonation. And the best thing is, I've already drank half the bottle, and it doesn't even feel like it. It's so light and just refreshing that I would drink the pale ale again, but I'll give you some honesty here. I wouldn't go out and buy a Sam Adams Pale Ale prior to this, and I don't really know why. I would end up probably falling into the ale category. I would go with the protection. Just go with the one I like.
Yeah.
And I think by expanding that and going, maybe buying the Brewer's Collection and tasting these, you'd go, oh, look, there's actually other Sam Adams products that are good. Sure, cranberry, not so good. This, much better.
You know, no, not yeah, in the cranberry you're, lemon. You're right. Like when, but I mean, that's how I feel, and I'm sure a lot of people feel about when you get into fruity shit.
Yeah.
I mean, as soon as you get into fruity shit, you're like, what the fuck are you doing?
Fruity.
Like, seriously.
Chocolate. You know, there's all those things where you're like, I don't really know, do I want chocolate in my beer? Or do I want my beer to have hints of chocolate, right? And then you get one and you're like, this tastes like a fucking melted Hershey Kiss with hops. That's gross.
So am I weird that I like to eat desserts with beer?
No, that would make you a beer drinker. I don't know. Right. What type of dessert are you drinking?
I just tilted my head like, huh?
Really?
If I'm out somewhere and I have a dessert, if I have some left of like I'm drinking a Guinness or something like that, I like the contrast of the kind of bitter beer to the sweet thing that I'm eating.
Like a root beer float.
That kind of makes sense.
Kind of.
Maybe you're actually, Dave, you might actually be a connoisseur and you just don't know it.
Damn it, Dave. I think you're...
Well, right. I am epic in many ways, so right. You know, that would not surprise me.
It's almost like... It's almost like...
That would not surprise
sweet
me.
And sweet and sour?
My awesomeness surpasses my own realization of my awesomeness.
I don't even know what that means. Exactly. But it's 100% true.
Wow. All right.
But overall, you know what I'm going to say is if you like a Sam Adams brew, and if you like middle of the road, like you said, you're not going to sit down with this beer, although it does have a very nice light texture, very like silky. I don't think you're going to sit down and go, just be like, your whole fucking pants are going to blow off. And you're going to be like, this is the best thing I've ever had, right? You're not going to have one of those moments. But I think you'll be like, this is a respectable beer. And I don't feel that whatever I spent on this, I'm going to say probably $8. Is a far-fetched. I think it's worth the $8, and I'll probably finish these or serve them to guests. So that's what I have to say. That's my nice. And I'm sticking to it. So I think we should save Dave's. Dave, you haven't touched the Hop Devil yet, right?
I haven't even opened it. No.
Okay.
you're gonna hate it.
Hey, Doug, you want to do your Carolina?
I would love to do the Carolina.
Okay.
And actually, the only thing that it really bums me out about doing the Carolina Pale Ale is...
You've had it 100 like, million times.
No, it's just nobody's going to be able to... Like, I'm 99% sure that for the people that actually... Like, all three people that listen to the podcast, aside from Luke, don't live in North Carolina, and therefore they were not going to be able to get this beer.
Well,
you can only get this beer in North Carolina.
I would have you know that I have five people in my WOW ICC rating group are all in North Carolina, so there's other people there, apparently.
Well, I would assume that they've probably already had this, but if not, the Carolina Pale Ale is not too carbonated. It has a very light head. It has a nice copper, warm color to it, and it doesn't have a heavy mouthfeel to it. It's not too malty, and at the same time, it's not too hopped. With regard to the hop, it has more of noble hop type taste to it. It's not very citrusy or florally. It's like a grassy thing that it's got going on. If you smell it, it kind of smells a little green, like almost like hay.
That's good.
But the thing that always brings me back to this particular beer is not the nostalgia or anything like that. It's very easy to drink. It's a very nice, well done pale ale where you have a good base malt. It's lightly hopped, and it plays well together, and it's easy to drink with nothing or
ice cream. What about ice cream, like Dave?
I would not drink this with ice cream.
Dave, you're fucked.
Yes. I mean, this is only one example of that, of course, but yeah.
Right, or brownies. Dave loves, with his brownies, he's huge into like wheat ale and brownies. Right, Dave?
Wheat ale with your weed brownies?
Yeah.
All right, good luck with that.
And hay. He likes hay in them.
Did you notice the deafening silence there?
That was perfect. That was awesome.
And it actually leaves really nice lace.
Lace, Belgian lace. Oh shit, mine doesn't.
Not Belgian lace, but lace nonetheless.
Well, I like to call it Belgian. Mine doesn't do that. Mine just rolls right down back into the glass. But you see, mine lets me drink it all. I don't have to have the lace stuck to the side and have to wash that off. It all just comes right down.
Isn't it a good sign if it leaves lace?
Yeah, I know. I'm just trying to argue.
Oh.
my bad. It's true. So you would say that that's a good beer that you can't get anywhere else. Now,
yeah, it's one of those things that I do find it unfortunate.
Nobody else can experience your pleasure. Besides everybody from North Carolina.
I would like to think of it as
a reason
to
go.
It's one
there.
Of those things that in the event you get to North Carolina or you live in North Carolina, you get a good thing. Or if you live in North Carolina, be happy that you have people that are brewing this kind of beer.
Now, is that the best out of the Carolina Brewing Company? Is that the one you would suggest the most? Like if I went there and I walked into the Carolina Brewing Company and I had 5 minutes and I could only taste one beer, what would it be?
As far as the most interesting thing that they do year round, I would...
No, like the I one would, that you I, think that would be the best showing for that company.
The best showing, regardless of whether it's year round or... If
right,
it's
I don't need fucking sprinkles and chocolate and shit. I mean, and none of that gingerbread fairy stuff. I mean, like, I would go there and be like, that is the best beer in Carolina, and hands down, and probably other places, just because that's the only one I've had. I don't need any more. That's it, right there.
Their Oktoberfest is by far the best Oktoberfest I've ever had in my life.
Oh, so there you go. It's better than what was the Oktoberfest that everybody hates here? Harpoon?
No, that was Winter Warmer.
Oh, okay. The one that tastes like
Winter Warmer,
like pumpkins and fairies or whatever.
Awful. Yeah.
Lighthouse pumpkin beer that I love. Everybody else hates.
Oh, that too.
Whatever. That's fine. You guys just are closed-minded people.
You're clearly racist against
pumpkins.
Or
people with taste. I don't know.
You just don't have the right taste buds to taste the pumpkin ale the way it's supposed to be tasted. It's supposed to be like you stuck your head in a fucking pumpkin
right. That
was rotting. That's the fermentation. I don't really know if that's how that would ferment. But in the sun, fermenting. Or maybe not. But it's better than what you got. You guys just don't know what you're talking about. That's the problem. Right. Dave.
Joe.
Tell me, have you had this Harpoon ever before?
Yeah, I have. I mean, Harpoon, their IPA is probably the thing that made Harpoon as a brewery, you know?
Mm-hmm.
It was one of the first IPAs that was mass marketed, and as such, it's a pretty... they're what I think of as being the example of what an IPA initially started out being. That's changed to be something completely different now, though.
Why?
Mm-hmm.
What is the difference?
What's the difference? About 5 million fucking pounds of hops in the goddamn fucking bottle. Obviously.
Exactly.
I was egging you on to see if I can get any type of response. That was perfect. Thank you for falling for it.
Yeah, it's the typical American thing what we were talking about earlier. It's like, well, if a little bit of this makes it good, then a whole shit ton will make it awesome. And it's not, you know.
So it's not. It doesn't have a lot of hops in it?
It has a reasonable amount of hops in it. I mean, you can certainly smell it when you first – I mean, it actually – it probably smells like it has more hops than it actually does. It definitely has a bitter edge to it. But even though I'm not that much of a hop fan, it's still a very drinkable beer, which I think is what we were talking about earlier with the whole middle-of-the-road aspect, right? Yeah, it's an IPA. It's not my first choice, but I can still drink it without, like, gagging, you know?
Right.
I'm not having the hops reach up and just, like, completely take over my taste buds. It's a very strong character of the beer, but it's not the only character of the beer. And I think where a lot of people are going wrong with IPAs now is that the only character of the beer is the hop.
It's almost a contest.
Yeah, I mean,
you're right.
It's like, who can make the beer with the most hops that they could sell in the open market? But the thing is, I swear, people, I'm going to say guys, I'm gonna leave Kate out because I think she's smarter than this. I think guys...
I think she's smarter than us in a lot of ways, but we'll carry on.
Right.
Right, yeah.
I think guys in general want to feel like they're like stronger than everybody else, right? So it's a contest of manhood where when it comes down to buying the beer or even like a six pack and bringing it over Buddy's house, if you buy a six pack of the hopped up, most hopped up shit you could find, triple hopped, hop devil, demon, sadistic, crazy hop guy, and you bring it over to somebody's house and you're like, try this. This is awesome, right? You drink it with a straight face. They drink it. They're like, dude, this tastes like sand. And you're like, no, this is the best stuff you're ever going to have. This, you don't like this, you're not a man, right? It seems like they're going to the route of it's always cooler to be that only guy that can drink it. Like, I'm the only guy who can eat a jalapeno straight without drinking water. Yeah, I'm a man. No, you're just stupid and you like jalapenos. Like, I don't see that the point of the hop should be to balance the beer, not to make the most crazy fucked up deal you can make.
So here's the thing. There are those people who hops are their thing and they're going to really enjoy an overhopped beer. But I think what happens a lot of times is that people that drink mass market stuff, Budweiser, Bud Light, whatever it happens to be, they want to try something different. And they hear all these people talk about, you know, like, oh, this... say Flying Dog, just to pick on them, is a awesome beer, and they pick up an IPA of some kind and they're just like overwhelmed by the hop aspect of it, and it's like, oh, I'm not going to drink that kind of shit. I'm just going to stick with my Budweiser, you know?
It's a bad
whereas
name.
There's a whole realm of other flavors that you can get if you're not focused on this one specific thing inside the beer.
And I wonder if the Harpoon IPA, because it's so dominant, like if I go to a party, if there's a Harpoon there, it's an IPA. Very rarely is it not an IPA, and the only place where it might not be an IPA would be like my father's house, where he's got beers of all different varieties and he's had IPA, right? He's got that in his refrigerator, sure, but he's got some other Harpoon, or somebody's bought him a Harpoon, or I've bought him Harpoon, and he's got something different from their catalog. But if you go over somebody's house and you have a Harpoon IPA and you see it at everybody's house you go to, you know, all through the summer you're at parties, and that's the beer that's not Bud, right? It's Bud Harpoon IPA, which typically it is. I never see any Shipyard, right? There's tons of other New England brands. The only thing I ever see besides that is Bass, right? So you've got Bass, Harpoon IPA, and Budweiser, or the people who decide they're going to drink the Coors Light, right? So if you have a Harpoon IPA, then you go to the store and you're like, I want to try an IPA. And you go up there and you're like, I'm going to look for an IPA. Here's one. It's going to probably taste like Harpoon. And then you get home and you're like, holy shit. What the hell did I just spend my money on?
Yeah.
Like, I wonder how much of that happens where people hear the IPA and they don't even know what it means. Most people probably don't know what that means.
And sadly,
I hope that happens a lot because Harpoon has made a great beer in their IPA, and in my opinion, I think that is what IPAs should taste like. I think that there is a lot of room for deviation on that, but I don't think that there's a lot of room on deviation for where the market has gone.
Okay, so They're,
I'm all for tweaks to flavors. You know, I mean, Harpoon IPA is probably a very generic form of IPA, which is okay. And if you want to create another one and you want to tweak some flavors to make it, you know, a little rounder in one area or another, that's all cool. It's when you take it and you say, let's add tons and tons of hops to it and make something completely different. It's not really an IPA anymore. It's something else. But everything gets marketed under the moniker of IPA. So in general, for me, I don't even bother with them anymore because I know that in, like 90% of the time, it's going to be some kind of overhop nonsense that I'm going to hate.
And I think that's more of a violation by the big brands. Like maybe the Harpoon wouldn't count. Some of the other brands out there might make an IPA that's overhopped. I think the smaller breweries, when they do it, they name it as such, like Hop Devil or Double Hop or Frog or Hoppy Frog or whatever they call their, you know, they get all crazy in the name where when you're looking at it going, okay, that's a seriously hopped beer because it's got a frog hopping over hops. Right? Holy shit. Do you know what's in there? Right? It's like poison, right?
Fucking hops.
When you get poison and it's got a skull and crossbones, people are like, shit, there's poison. How do you know? Well, it's got fucking skull and crossbones on it. If you've got hops growing out of your beer label, right, which a lot of them do, they're calling out, look, we're being ridiculous here. That's what we're doing. So when you drink this, you're drinking something ridiculous. Where when the major breweries do it, they just call it IPA. And that's where they get boned. Because then they end up with those overhopped, crazy-ass beers, like you're explaining, that make you want to throw up in your mouth twice. That's a double hop. So, yeah, I don't. So you think it's a good beer that you would drink if you were at somebody's house?
Yeah, it's not something I would normally, you know, seek out. Because, again, it's not my style of beer in general. But if it's, you know, at a party and it's an alternative to, you know, some of the other standard stuff. Yeah, sure. I'll drink one or two.
I would drink a Harpoon IPA over a Coors Light.
Absolutely.
It's just got more flavor. And I know people who drink Coors Light are like, what the fuck are you talking about? But it's just got more flavor. It's more fun. And you don't get wrecked. Do you know what the alcohol is on it? Because it can't be
It's actually fairly high. It's 5.9.
I drink a lot, but I don't get that wrecked. I did have somebody write in that said, they wrote in today. I was looking for the email to read on the show, but I can't find it. That said, at some point, probably, like, people are going back to episode one now, and it's getting crazy because I don't remember what we said back then.
I view a lot of the older episodes as
so
being
much
evidence.
Less back then.
I know. If you just watch the rum episode where I only had two rums, now it's like I've got 40. I don't know.
Yeah, but that's really scary. We knew even less back then.
I know.
We don't know shit now.
I know. This shows you the evolution of man. It just takes many, many years, like 100. But
so we get dumber?
I think we get dumber before we get smarter, but I'm not really sure if we ever get smarter. That's why we have Kate here to kind of balance out. She's like the malt in our hop.
I so appreciate when Kate shows up to the podcast. I really do.
But they wrote in and said that I shouldn't. I would be wrong in taking aspirin or any type of medicine like that before drinking to avoid hangovers because it thins your blood and makes you get drunk faster. I was like, yeah, but it never makes me get drunk faster. So I don't know. You guys ever have any problem with taking?
I don't know, that makes sense.
It does.
I do like to, if I've had too much, I like to try to take a couple before I go to bed.
Yeah, maybe that's the difference, is you're already drunk, so you can't get drunk faster, because you're already there, I don't think.
You don't take it before you start drinking, you take it when you're done.
See, I take it before I start drinking, if I know it's going to be, if I'm drinking heavy beers, like and it's usually a couple hours in advance, that way it kicks in. But I don't sit down and like shelve like a whole bottle and then go out drinking. It's usually just a preventative measure. So, Kate, what are you drinking? I already know what you're drinking. You're drinking Sierra Nevada. What do you think of it? That's you go out and buy Sierra Nevada or did you already have it in your house?
I did. No, I actually bought. I bought a 6-pack of Sierra Nevada. It runs about $9.
That's a lot.
Where I bought it anyway.
Wow, that's pretty pricey.
That's,
a little cheaper somewhere else. I bought it at the grocery store. But it's a California beer, 5.6 ABV.
That's a lot.
Isn't 5 average for beer? No?
Whoa, holy shit. Sorry, I almost spilled my beer on my keyboard. I think, and this is where I was confused on where they talked about all these, like, the high potent alcohol beers in Europe would be 5% or above. I think 5.6 is pretty normal for our
I'm pretty sure the average beer is about 5%.
Yeah. So I think maybe we just do everything a little over the top. But I don't know what it is.
In parts of Europe, the taxation is different depending on the percentage of the alcohol. So if you're in Sweden, for example, you can get 3% beers very cheap. But as soon as you step up to 5%, they tax the shit out of them.
So, but okay. So if that's true, do you just if I drink two beers, technically that's what six. That should be 6% alcohol if I consume them fast enough, right? Where I don't digest it. That would be like 6% alcohol. No, double the amount of alcohol.
Yeah.
Is it cost me double the amount or is it cheaper? Because I think it's cheaper.
It's cheaper.
Right. So that's how it plays out. Because I went to a bar in Germany. I could talk about this after her review. We had 24 beers. It cost us €60. That seems pretty good.
Yeah.
But anyway, sure. Kate.
No, it's okay. I don't mind the tangent. As long as you're not talking about something like goatsy or something.
Goatsy or vagina.
Yeah, speaking of insert horrible thing here.
Hey, Kate.
Sierra Nevada is a very good beer. I've had it in where the hell was I? I was in California, of all places. Right?
Okay.
Palm Springs.
Is it a green label, by the way?
I'm trying to remember. Yes, it's the green label.
It's a green
I think Celebrate Something or whatever is yellow. Right?
Never mind. And it has mountains.
Yes, I know the one you're talking about. Celebration, something Celebration. Yeah. Also Sierra Nevada,
But you went right for the Sierra. Now, did you know that was the... When we said Pale Ale, you were like, Sierra Nevada, I'm going to get it?
No, I just saw it and it just sort of stood out, so I took it.
Because it's green.
It's a really nice green color.
And it says pale ale.
And it says pale ale right on it.
Fucking marketing, right?
That's what I gotta get. So I did. And I know Sierra Nevada. I mean, I've heard, obviously of Sierra Nevada, so I figured it was safe. But yeah, it's a nice golden orange color. It's got a nice what?
Golden.
I know.
Oh God, here we go.
And I was just gonna talk about the head because that's what we do.
Yep.
We pour beer.
Tell me about the head, Kate.
It's damn it. Okay, so it's got a nice head on the pour. Which speaks to the carbonation.
I had three great heads over here, so that's okay.
So
hold on, Doug's trying to compose himself
and failing miserably.
We can't, Kate. You and me can't talk about head on the show without Doug fucking falling over. Doug, we're being serious here.
Don't you guys talk about your head?
All the time.
Okay. So, anyway, it's...
I don't think he's going to make it.
You know the sad thing is, how many beer episodes have we done where we'd have to talk about head, and this happens every time?
It is always funny. Doug has taken it to a new level. I mean, granted. I think he's coming back. Wait, here he goes.
I'm stuck on golden.
Oh, the golden color, yeah. Oh.
You gotta stop. My face is fucking hurting. I can't stop smiling. You don't smile muscles fucking
shouldn't
hurt.
Give so much head, Derek. That won't make your face hurt.
who gives head with their face?
Oh my god! I don't want to talk anymore. Right. I want someone else to go.
No, you're set. You're almost clear. I'm really almost done.
I'm not going to talk about the head or the golden color anymore. So,
But is it bitter?
No, I didn't find it to be particularly bitter.
I really don't know how that went out of
I don't hand. Either. I really don't, because bitter doesn't really play in there. But
no.
The beer, it has a very light citrusy smell. I know that you guys have talked about hops kind of being somewhat on the floral side. I think if it's a Cascade hop, they tend to be more floral. I don't know. I could be wrong, Doug. But this...
She's calling you out, Doug.
I always say Doug because I know he knows all about this stuff. But this particular, the Sierra Nevada Pale Ale is made with Cascade hops. I don't know that much about them, but I think they tend to be more floral or spicy. Is that correct?
They do.
Okay.
Is it like a different species or something?
Species
of what? It's a different type of hops. Different than noble hops, right?
Yeah. Cascade is, ultimately, I'm going to end up looking this up, but it's... I believe they're grown in Oregon and Washington State. they're American hops, and they have a high alpha acidity, and they're more of the like if you use a lot of them in beers, they tend to have a grapefruity
yes. taste to them. Yes, and this okay. does have a slightly grapefruity taste.
Really?
Yeah, it definitely does. The smell and the taste has just a little bit of a hint of citrus. It's not, you know, overwhelming, or it doesn't taste fake or manufactured. It's just enough of a hint of that. It's a very smooth, crisp type of a beer. It's something that you could have more than one of. If you were, you know, sitting down to have a few beers, I think this would be a good choice. It doesn't make you feel really full. The flavor's not overwhelming. It's just kind of a nice, light, refreshing beer. The IBU, since this is something that we've yes. brought up.
Oh, is this that bitterness thing?
Yes.
Is the international
wait, can I guess? Wait, what was the scale? It was 1 to 10? No, it was 1 to 100?
Oh, 1 to 100,
yeah.
is it?
Yeah, yeah. So it's I'm going to say.
Something like that.
I'm going to guess 32.
Just based on
32.
What I've just said. 32. Excellent. Really, really good, Derek.
Why, what is it?
37.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, I was going to go 35.
Shit.
Yeah. Oh, I should have let everyone guess.
I thought we had already made it clear that we had to go up to at least 4 significant digits on this.
Dave was going to go with a dollar.
Dave gets really pissed when we're not specific with the IBU. Right. Yes, yeah, so that kind of tells you it's not like totally hop crazy bitter. And it's just kind of a nice, light, refreshing, crisp beer with a hint of that grapefruit, you know, citrus flavor. I really liked it. That's- and it was, like I said, it was about... I would say you would probably expect to spend about $8. It cost me $9, but I think the grocery store probably hikes it up a little bit.
They ruined it.
Bastards.
Yeah.
See, so. I think that's, you know, I don't think that's too far out of the realm. Even in New Hampshire, we have taxes on beer, but mm-hmm. I think it would still anywhere from $8 to $12 seems about normal.
Yeah.
Which is weird because that's
a for lot of both of the six packs that I purchased, they were $8.99 each.
Yeah, this is expensive stuff. But that's another version of a beer where I think everybody knows Sierra Nevada. Now I have seen it up here, you know, at people's houses, and I think if my father has any, it's always the green. It's always the Sierra Nevada with the green label on it, and
the pale ale.
And I think that's like their. It's kind of like the Harpoon IPA. That is their standard product that is sold the most. Mm-hmm. And I don't see it as much as the Harpoon IPA, but if there was another beer I would go with, it's Sierra Nevada. And I think most people, I don't even know if they know there's other Sierra Nevada labels. I think everybody just assumes Sierra Nevada. Oh, that's this. It's like the tissue of or the Kleenex of IPAs. It's like Sierra Nevada. Oh yeah, that's I know what that tastes like. Well, no, you don't. There's like a bunch of different ones, but nobody's ever heard of them.
Yeah, they have a porter. They have seasonals. They have right. They have lots of different types of beers.
I don't know where they are.
And Derek knows Kleenex. Trust
where they're where the brewing company is?
No. Like where, well, yeah, the brewing company's in
California.
Yeah. So I wonder if that's where those other brews, the seasonals, are more predominant. I don't see a lot of them out here.
Yeah, probably not.
I think Sierra Nevada was one of the first of the like microbreweries that went macrobrew. Kind of like Harpoon, you know what I mean? Like, there's this first vanguard that happened after. My history sucks, forget it. Basically, you know, you had all the kind of standard breweries, Anheuser-Busch, blah, 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 blah.
Right.
And then these microbrews started popping up and selling all over the country. People like Harpoon and Sam Adams and Sierra Nevada. And they were among the first group of them that happened before some of the newer ones that came out, you know?
Yeah, I think like now the next generation would be, I mean, Angersteam goes back to those days. But today, the breweries of today, the only one I could think of, there's Flying Dog since I have it, Dogfish Head. And,
Dogfish Head.
You know, a couple of the brands that, in the way I usually pick them out, are if you look at a Sierra Nevada or a Sam Adams label, they're very classic. The newer breweries tend to go very crazy, right? They try and stand out and become like some new generation of beers where they're only hip to a certain crowd.
Look at the newest generation of Venters in their bottles.
Is it all crazy?
Of course, yeah. Everybody's bottles, like, they try to make, try to market on their bottle, and, like, all the classics are, you know, they have just, like, classic lines. It's, you know, and it's one of those things that generally pisses me off. Huh? Because nothing does that.
One of them.
besides hops?
You know, just you can have a classic look and a class in classic lines, and that will do more for you than trying to be outrageous and trying to be like, oh, look at me, I have a hippopotamus on a trampoline doing a slam dunk with a football, because that makes sense.
Right. Or in the case of the double dog, double pale ale, a human lifelike dog headed creature in his underwear tossing two beers into his mouth.
Right.
That's right. So, I mean.
But, I mean, in Flying Dog does their whole Ralph Steedman thing that is. Dang it. Sorry.
Bless you.
Thank you. The Hunter S. Thompson. Yeah, Ralph Steedman thing.
Yes.
And actually, I think that they use him.
It is unique in their own. Like, every one of their bottles follows that category, and you can never miss without even having Flying Dog label. You know that that's a Flying Dog beer just because of its unique look to it. But I don't know if I can't say that it's wrong. It's just quite different. And
no, but I mean, it obviously sticks out enough that I could tell you that, oh, Flying Dog has the, you know, Hunter S. Thompson Ralph Steedman thing.
It's working.
On. Yeah.
So what I figured, I guess, let's see, what else we have? We have the Fire Rock. You want to do the Fire Rock Pale Ale, and then me and Dave can get all crazy?
Sure. Sorry.
I actually have, you guys all have two. I actually have a Bass.
Whoa.
Have the Bass?
You know what? It's been in my basement for like 3 years.
Do you like Bass?
It'll be perfect.
Do you think it's okay to
drink? Oh, totally. You should get that.
If it hasn't walked away, it's going to be
best.
It's in a bottle, and it was underneath where I have my wines, which is in a very dark, cool area of my basement. I didn't realize I still had any beers down there.
Is that the part that I hide in?
Yeah. Any rocks?
I sleep well.
Dave, you are fucked up.
Yeah. Thank you.
You're scaring me, and I'm the guy.
The best part is sleep well.
Exactly.
Do you think it's okay for me to?
Oh, totally. You should drink that shit up.
Once it doesn't have too many floaties, it should be fine.
Right. You'll know right away if you
pour
it.
Have you had a tetanus shot recently?
Never.
If you pour it and it's got sediment, a lot of like crazy sediment. I mean I'm the professional when it comes to aging beers. And okay. And they don't kill me. I've never died from it. Yeah. I don't think I respawned once, but that was different.
Hey Kate, my professional opinion, I think that you should pour half the bottle into a wine glass and savor it.
Yeah.
Okay, I'm gonna do it. So if I get sick.
You won't get sick.
I have all of your contact information.
I've drank a shitty beer a lot, and I've never got sick.
All right.
Fucked up, yes, but not sick.
All right, I'll be away from my headphones for a couple of minutes.
All right.
So you know, it's being recorded, so I'm going to hear what you say.
You'll hear it. It's no segue, so you're good.
Okay.
It's clean.
Be back in a minute.
All right. So, Doug.
Yo.
Do you want to tell me a little about the Fire Rock, and then I'm going to go through the I'll go through the Pale Ale.
I would love to, because this is, when I got this today, like I had never had it before. And I was walking around and I was like, pale ale, pale ale, pale ale. And then it was like IPA, 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 IPA.
Wait,
was like,
you didn't have any Monty Python Holy Ale?
Yeah, oh, I did see that, but I had had it before.
Is that any good?
And so from the outset, I knew that I was going to get Carolina Pale Ale. I did not know what I was going to get for my second beer, because I wanted to have at least two. And, you know, walking through the beer store and looking at all the different options, I wanted to see A, what was out there, and B, what I hadn't had before. This was one of the beers that I saw and decided that, well, didn't decide, I had not had before. And decided to go ahead and get it just because I hadn't had it before and didn't want to have it until we got on the podcast. Admittedly, I've already had one.
Uh-oh.
And this is a really good beer. I really hope that you guys can get this where you are. It's got...
It's Portsmouth, New Hampshire.
Yeah, well, yeah, you know. I would assume that you can get it. It doesn't have much head to speak of. It doesn't have much lace to speak of, but, I mean, it has a very nice, subtle, malty, floral odor.
aroma.
Bouquet.
If
you will.
A six-pack.
It has, it's kind of silky on the tongue, and it just kind of, everything just like pops on it. This is such a good beer. It's one of those things where I got it and I was like, oh man, this will be great if this is a beer that I'll just be able to bust on. it's everything.
You were looking to hate.
I really was. I was looking to hate this beer. I wanted to pick up a beer that I've never had before and just hate on it.
Beer racist.
I am a beer racist.
That's cool. It sounds a
That's
lot
why
like
it goes for the pale ales. Yeah, exactly.
You bastard.
But this is such a good beer. I cannot.
It sounds a lot like the pale ale I had, the Sam Adams. It's like a malty nose to it. Although, mine, I can't say it was the best beer I've ever had, but it was pretty good. But that is it now, do you think it's better than Carolina Pale Ale?
See, now you're playing with my heart.
No, look, you need to put your shit away. You need to go, you know what? I'm not going to worry about my fantasies of when I first got here and the beer I first had and my nostalgia, and I'll throw that in the closet. You tell me naked truth. You got to pull down your pants in front of the crowd and be like, which beer is the best?
Yeah, naked truth is, I like it better.
Oh, your penis is showing.
I like whatever hop they use. I enjoy how they balance that with the roasted malt that they use, and it's a deeper copper tone than the Carolina Pale Ale, and whenever they're using to produce this beer, these guys are making a really good beer.
Now, unfortunately, I don't think many people have heard of Fire Rock Pale Ale, so that's going to be a problem. Mm. You know, like, it's unfortunate. Maybe it'll grow.
Yeah, it sucks for them. Yeah, I mean, it really has a nice crisp sweetness to it, and like, I'm a sucker for sweetness in a savory, where somebody expects, like, in like when you're eating any type of entree where it's savory and you just get a little bit of sweetness. I'm a sucker for sweetness where,
like, a pizza,
you're not expecting it. I'm like, what?
Like a pizza. Yeah, sometimes they have the sweet sauce, and you're like, oh, that's pretty good.
Oh, yeah, sure, like with pineapple on pizza. I'm a sucker for that, and like where you're not expecting sweet, and there's an element of sweetness. This is such a good fucking beer. I cannot tell you.
Look, if you drop the F-bomb, it's going to be a good beer.
It's a good beer.
But is it better than Turbo Dog?
Completely different.
Oh, you're going to play that card?
Yeah, I'm going to play that card. And the reason I'm going to play that card is because, as I said when we did the Brown Ale episode, I'm not going to defend that beer. That beer, in and of itself, stands on its own. It's a great beer. Put it up against anything, it's still a good beer. It's a very, very, very drinkable beer. You can drink it with anything. You can have it with anything. You can drink it at 5 o'clock in the morning. You can drink it at midnight. That beer is just...
Okay, so based on that, though, if I go to Louisiana right now, the chances of me finding an Abita beer are pretty good. Where would I go, though, to get a Fire Rock Pale Ale? You know, like, do I have to go to Kona? Is that, like, where this beer... Because if you think about that, if that's where you're selling it, there's, like, 10 people that live there. So, your audience is very small. So, I'm wondering where... And they were obviously big enough, though, to be able to put a brewery in Portsmouth. Or, that was their reasoning, as they said, look, we have a good beer, but we're in Kona. There's 10 people here. We need to go someplace where we can show this off.
Yeah, I honestly think it's the latter, and I have not I have not done any due diligence to try to figure out exactly who is brewing this, but I mean, wouldn't it be a fucking pisser if like Smutty Nose was brewing it for him?
Oh, it's either Smutty Nose, Shipyard, one of those big guys, probably.
Yeah, Harpo. I would be surprised if it wasn't one of those guys, because I mean, Portsmouth has those three really big brewers,
right? They probably got some room over there.
Yeah, probably.
Kate, did you get your Bass Ale?
I did. I don't think I can give a proper review of it because I don't know if it tastes really weird because it's several years old or because it just...
When you opened the bottle, did a genie come out?
If only. It actually, you know, it all seemed normal until I had a sip of it. It just tastes like... it's hard to explain it. It tastes very, very bitter, but almost like, I don't know. It's actually not too bad. I guess because there's no carbonation in it, or very little, it just, the bitterness doesn't taste just right. But maybe that's the way that it's supposed to be. I don't know.
It doesn't taste like almonds or anything, right?
No.
What?
No. That's a poison. That's what poison tastes like.
Arsenic, yeah.
Yeah.
Arsenic. It's... thank you. It's definitely a very deep caramel color to it.
Yeah, totally.
It doesn't have much carbonation. It doesn't have, you know, obviously much of a head. It's almost kind of flat. So I have no idea if that's just because it's old. So I really can't review it properly.
Doug, I don't think it has a lot of carbonation, does it?
It doesn't normally.
No, because it layers. Mm-hmm. It's usually the base for a Bass Ale. I mean, not Bass Ale. It is a Bass Ale. A base for Guinness.
Well, most English ales are not.
You're thinking black and tan.
Yeah. If it was too carbonated.
Guinness itself has, in theory, you should have the nitrogen on the Guinness, which makes it a very light density.
But and would the carbonation of a Bass cause a problem?
No.
No?
But most English ales that I've had don't have much carbonation.
No, and they are. I think it should be a little more bitter. It's a bitter style, I think, for a bitter pale.
Yeah.
So it might be good. I don't have one on me. I should have bought some because that's the beer I typically buy for the neutral party where I know there's going to be some people I don't really know them very well or whatnot. I'd buy Bass Ale because that's usually a good standard. Works for everybody. Or Harpoon IPA as well.
Yeah.
But as long
have
as
you had Smittix before.
No.
Smittix is fantastic. It's kind of like Bass, but it's a little bit...
Smithwick?
Yeah.
But,
it's an Irish version of Bass, essentially, but it's really,
okay.
Good.
It's like
I had a few last night. A
few hundred?
Want to do, but no, just a few.
A few thousand.
So it might be... I can't...
Dave's.
If you don't have sea monkeys growing in your Bass, then you're probably not doing too bad.
Yeah.
I mean, it seems fine. I just... you know, I don't know if the taste experience is altered at all, but it doesn't smell like really skunky, or if there is such a thing as skunky beer, it doesn't smell really, you know, tough or anything. It doesn't taste really bad. It's a much more bitter, you know, obviously than the Sierra, and it's much less carbonated, so it's just a totally different pale ale experience.
There's probably, I mean, you probably, it is a bald beer, so the chances are you probably did lose some of the carbonation after 3 years.
Yeah.
I mean, it's going to happen, I don't really, as long as it doesn't have floaties, I leave mine in the refrigerator, and it usually, I never really check the carbonation on them, because I usually see floaties, and I'm already distracted, so I don't really know how that works.
But I will say, I went to the bass.com website, and it says that the authentic black and tan is always made with Bass Pale Ale, and I don't know if they say that because it's theirs, but...
Oh, of course.
No, it is.
But it... Oh, okay.
No,
I
it's,
believe it.
Typically it's floated with the Bass, yeah. That's why I usually get a black attack, because I know I got Bass. Sometimes it's not Guinness, though.
Hey, so should we get into the silly hop level?
Hold on,
stuff?
I forgot I have another one. Hold on, ready? I'll do my last one. This will be quick.
Did you do your 11% one?
No, that's coming after this.
Okay.
This, I wanted to go through the UFO Pale Ale, because this is really good. I don't know if I've said that, because I haven't said that, because I've been drinking.
Didn't you already do the UFO Pale Ale earlier?
No, I just said it was filtered or unfiltered.
Oh.
No, this is really good. It's got citrus.
Wait a minute. What the fuck did you review earlier?
Sam Adams Pale Ale.
Oh, that's why I was confused. Okay,
yeah, no, never mind. This is the UFO. This is really, this is like a sweet version of Blue Moon. Like, it's got that unfilteredness to it, but it's got the citrus to it. You know how some people put the citrus in the Blue Moon?
This is going to remind me of a question that you guys are probably going to think is very, pedestrian. But what is the difference between a Hefeweizen and a pale ale?
Yes. I know the answer.
Bring it.
Do it.
Well, only because I know German. And one's a wheat.
Hefeweizen is a wheat beer.
Yeah.
But they're both a very citrusy, light, crisp type of a... No?
Oh, that's probably the hop.
Not really? Okay.
Well, no, they are. They're citrus. Both of them are. I mean, the citrus, the citrus nature might be a specific hop that's used in both. I mean, I can't imagine.
No, but
a single
think hop. In a Hefeweizen, you're actually getting citrus from some of the other spicing that's put into it. It's not dependent upon the hops.
Okay.
Yeah, like additional flavors.
Yeah, because Weissbiers of any kind aren't terribly hoppy.
No, but they're also don't they follow the Reinheitsgebot? They're going to only have like four ingredients in them. I don't think they can have citrus in them. Like, I don't think they could put citrus in there. It would have to be either the hop, the yeast, the malts, something, right?
Yeah.
Also, think about when you talk about like a wheat beer, there is crushed or mashed wheat that is part of the brewing process, whereas you don't necessarily have that in your ales. I mean, it's something that you can definitely add a different flavor profile to your ale, but it's not something that
it's not an additive.
Style is dependent on.
Right. And it's still not an additive. It's part of the process.
Right. So there's a difference between having some kind of wheat as far as used as what is going to be giving you the sugar to produce your alcohol versus having malted barley.
Right. Now
for that.
I don't this though has that citrus, probably a hop. It's light, although it is very cloudy. I like it. It's got a sweetness to it that's not like the Sam Adams. The Sam Adams has a light hint of like a crisp sweetness. This has like a sweet finish. Not sweet like sugar, but sweet like it just gives you like a sweet taste in your mouth. A little bit of dry, a little bit of citrus on the taste, a little bit of citrus on the profile, silky smooth, very tasty, not extremely carbonated, or at least it's not anymore. It's hard to tell really because it's so cloudy. But a cloudy beer to me, I usually picture wheat. This has more, I don't know, it's just got more flavor. On the opposite side, I don't think it's nearly as serviceable as the Sam Adams Pale Ale. I don't think as many people are going to like it because it has different aromas and different flavors. If you like those aromas and flavors, if you like a Blue Moon, for instance, with your either a lime, a lemon or an orange or whatever they throw in them, I think you'll be okay with this. It's not fruity, right? It doesn't taste like fruit. But it's got that citrus hints to it, like you were discussing, and I kind of like it. I was very impressed. It is, I mean, it's a Harpoon, but I didn't, you know, again, Harpoon IPA, that's the way I always roll. UFO, what else? They have a couple other UFOs, don't they?
The UFO Hefeweizen.
Yep, and they make a raspberry Hefeweizen, and they make a white beer now.
This is just very flavorful, and I can't put all I can think of is citrus. It's got citrus flavors to it. It is a little bitter in the finish, so it's got a little hop to it, a little bitterness. Not a lot, not enough to turn you off.
With regard to mouthfeel, I mean, is it crisp and light, or I mean, does it
medium body?
Do you
like
feel like it sits on the tongue?
Oh no, it sits there. Like this is medium. Huh. It's not heavy by any means, but it's definitely there. It's a very predominant.
What's ABV?
I have no fucking idea.
Alcohol by volume?
Yeah, we know what the acronym is.
It's just the way you said it.
I have no idea what alcohol by volume is. Let me see. ABV on this little sucker. How do you know? It's beer advocate. Oh, 5.3.
Ah, slight.
Yeah. It's very tasty. I like, but you know what? Sometimes, like this beer, I'm not looking for a lot of alcohol because this is so tasty, I could drink a couple of them. They're a little heavier than the pale ale. I drank that whole pale ale, and I had a pee. I had no idea. It was just like, poof, gone.
Well,
holy shit.
They're both pale ales. You mean the Sam Adams.
The Sam Adams, yeah. I just saw the label. It's just like very pale ale-ish. The Sam Adams is so light and crisp. It's more like something you drink when you're thirsty. This is more like something you drink at an event or at a restaurant. You know, it might pair good with things that like citrus. I don't really know of anything. Maybe a pasta or something. I don't know. See, that's the problem. I was going to say seafood, but I can't really do that because I hate seafood. So
I do too.
Yeah, so I'm thinking
just
it would.
Think of anything that you would anything that you would have a white wine with.
Or maybe a Mai Tai. This would pair well with a Mai Tai. Sorry, live edit just get all crazy on me. I don't know what the fuck is going on. So I think it's very tasty, and I highly suggest you try it if you can get the UFO pale ale specifically. Hefeweizen's good too, but this is a little bit different. Maybe even more citrus than a Hefeweizen. I don't remember a Hefeweizen being too citrusy, but I don't have one on hand again because I'd be drunk. So what I want to do right now is, Dave, you and me have the crazy beers. Right? So I've got this beer, 11% alcohol. Do you want to go first or should I go first?
Doesn't matter.
All right, then I'll go first because mine's probably getting warm and yours probably doesn't matter. All three of my beers had, like I said, a nice frothy head. This beer looks very much like a unfiltered lager. It's very dark and very cloudy. I can't explain it. It's dangerous looking. I'm gonna take a sip. Let's smell this first because this is pretty intense. 11.5%.
That's
actually
crazy.
Just real quick. What you said earlier, what you wanted me to comment on was the top fermented.
Yes.
Yeah. So ales are top fermented beers, which means that the yeast in the beers are, generally speaking, brewed at room temperature, and let's say room temperature is anywhere between 68 degrees to 78 degrees, maybe 80 degrees-ish Fahrenheit, and the yeast rises to the top of your beer mixture wort.
Okay.
Bottom fermented, where you're looking at your lagers, are cold at a temperature lower than 68 degrees, and they tend to settle at the bottom of the beer.
Right, and that's because I've been bothering my father because he only makes ales. And I was like, dude, you need to make a lager. He's like, I can't make a lager. I'm like, why? Because I don't have the temperature.
Exactly.
And
because
I was like,
it takes a lot more effort.
The thing is, he can get the low temperatures, but they go too low. Right, now you're talking, he's like, oh, my shop can go, it goes down to, he can't really control it. It's just, if you shut off the heat, or you can't keep the heat at a specific lagering temperature. And so it's like, you shut it off, it's down at 30. You turn it on, it's up at 60 or 40 or 50. He can't keep it consistent. So he's like, I'm like, well, dude, just fucking build a cave. That's what I told him to do. But he doesn't want to do that. You know, because
build a cave.
Or you have to hit it at a specific season, like fall or what comes before summer. No, that's fall. No, spring. Right?
Spring.
Sometime early in spring. I was having a problem with the English translation.
You had a 1-in-4 shot there, and I'm glad you got it.
What comes before summer? Chinese New Year.
Dragon. I don't know. So you'd have to, and then you'd have to hit that temperature correct, and it has to be correct the whole time. So he can't really do lager. So pale ales make more sense. He can control the temperature. And so he's been doing that. I'm like, damn it, I want a lager because he can't make it. That's why I want it. I don't really care. So this beer, by the way, again, this beer brings me back to the sake episode. It's got that ricey, yeasty, starchy scent to it. The aromas are very different. Very not like what I would expect. With a little bit of chocolate. And maybe some chalk and a blueberry.
Chocolate and chalk and blueberry?
No, I threw the blueberry in there. So that's a lie. I was just trying to get creative.
Chum, this is serious shit. This is serious business. You can't just like throw stuff out like that. That's not cool.
This is serious business. This is a this is...
What if somebody got excited as soon as they heard blueberry and just threw their
headphones
their
down.
Headphones down and
fuck this podcast, I'm going to buy some of this double dog, double pale ale and get wrecked on this shit.
I have the show notes open and I have like a whole bunch of tabs open on my browser. Now I was clicking through and I clicked through and of course someone has put this great image up there. And I was like, oh my God, where did I... Like, I didn't know how I ended up on that website. And then I realized it was the show, show notes.
Yeah, I scrolled down to avoid distraction.
That's a great shot.
Who knows what will happen on the show notes.
I know. Now, Kate.
I heart.
Dick.
Yeah.
Kate, IBUs on the fucking bottle. This is what I love about Flying Dog. Flying Dog tells you their shit, right? They tell you, it must be on the box. The box tells
is
you
there
a bar
IBU
graph.
In scientific notation?
It's it? No. That's too many
they're
decimals.
Obviously amateurs.
IBU, 85.
Damn. Yeah. That's bitter.
My tongue is on fire right now.
On really?
That's a this, lot. Yeah.
This, it's tickly. It continues to prickle at my on the flat of the tongue. It's chocolatey. It's malty, oddly enough. And you know, one of the key factors is I don't taste the alcohol. Like, it's obvious potency, very heavy and weighty, dark, like that chocolate thing, acidic, bitter. But you know what? I have had more bitterness than this in my sleep. Right,
because
this
because it's hidden by the maltiness.
I don't know, or something is it's balanced very well for what it is. Would I drink these every day? No, my cheeks feel like they're swelling, like I'm allergic to this much hop. But it's not like biting. It's just very full, and there is I don't get a lot of like alcohol flavor like I did with the Leviathan that I had, the Harpoon, or was it Harpoon? Yeah, I think it was Harpoon Leviathan last week. Or last time we did a show, but I'm not getting the vodka taste. But I still know, like I could still feel like the fire and the warmth. Mm-hmm. And it's a very heavy brew, totally something that an average consumer would just put down and go, this is disgusting. I could see them maybe saying it tastes like sand because it's got like a dry, bitter hoppiness in the finish. But it's not that bad. Like, I was expecting to just throw up all over my keyboard.
Yeah.
So, it's pretty good. It's smooth, and it does evaporate a little quick, and it's got a little sourness to it. And so, you could definitely tell it's 11%. I would probably think I would go with, say, 8 or 9% if I was to guess. But once you see it, you're like, okay, that's some strong stuff right there. And they come in a 4-pack. I wouldn't suggest drinking all 4 at a sitting. Maybe one, and that's it. That would be enough.
Yeah, it'd be like drinking 8, basically.
It would be a rough night.
Because it's like twice the normal beer.
Yeah.
ABV.
Dave, what are you drinking?
So I've got Victory Hop Devil, which has a picture of a devil made out of hop leaves, I guess.
Bingo. Warning signs. Fucking skull and crossbones.
So, I mean, pretty much I know this is going to be a crazy-ass hop beer. So let's open it up.
What's the IBU? Well, I'll figure it out. You just keep drinking.
I don't know. The ABV is 6.7.
No, I don't fucking care about the ABV. IBU is much better.
It's in my lab right now. I'm still figuring out the IBU. But
all right, that's cool.
All right, so pouring it out, it's a little more coppery than I would expect, actually. But too bad. Sorry, I'm just kind of...
You're smelling it to see if it's going to kill you?
Yeah, pretty much. Understandably. It's like any kind of poison. Yeah, this is going to be crazy hoppy. I can tell already just from the smell of it. And it's that green hoppy smell, you know.
Like made to kill you?
Yeah. Like somebody just mowed the lawn and that happened to be all hops.
They mowed the lawn of hops.
And that's the thing. I think that's such an interesting smell/flavor that hops can have. It can have like that green... earthy, grassy thing going on, but at the same time, like the Sierra Nevada that Kate has, it can have the floral, citrusy, grapefruity thing going on.
You know, and I don't mind the smell, actually. It has a bad connotation to me now because of some of the beers that I've had.
So it's damaged you. You're damaged goods, Dave.
pretty much. Well, you knew that anyway. The thing that I just took a sip of this. So it's got crazy overpronounced hop, and that's all you can taste. And then it rides off to this aftertaste that is like you just bit into a grapefruit, but with none of the sweetness. So it's just the bitter, acrid aspect of the grapefruit.
Right, right. Oh, yeah. I can get that on this, actually, now that you think of grapefruit.
I mean, I'm sure there are people that would love this, that are really into the hop thing. But for me, it just means it's completely one-dimensional beer. I'm not gagging on it, but it's not good to me. You know, it just, it has no warmth. It's just all like, hey, there's hops here. It's in your face. Blah, you know.
Yeah.
Extreme hops, you know, and that's just, who cares? You know, it's almost like, how dark can you roast a coffee bean before it gets disgusting?
Very.
You know what I mean? Like, you can take things to an extreme that you don't need to.
Yeah, it's, and then it ends up like Starbucks. Mm. It's funny, because I was thinking the same, like, now, you know what? I've been sipping on my beer, too, and I'm having a hard time thinking that I could probably finish this.
The aftertaste of this is pretty terrible. It just hangs around for a good long time.
Oh, really?
And all it is bitter.
I'm getting a little bit of that on mine, too. The first few sips aren't so bad. It's as you keep drinking it, the aftertaste continues to build. You know, you take a sip, and you're like, okay, still off.
Yeah.
Then you take a second sip, and it's like, okay, building,
yep,
and you're just going to fucking explode.
No, dang it. I just wanted to agree with you on that sentiment where when you get a really hoppy beer, it just builds, and it builds, and it builds, and it builds, and it builds. And it's when you get like a Harpoon IPA or like a Sierra Nevada, where you get like a brewery that has come up with the perfect recipe, that doesn't happen anymore.
Right.
And that's a thing of beauty, really.
I want to hug it.
You know what this reminds me of? I like spicy food a lot, but I like spicy food that has a lot of complex flavor to it.
Other than like, just having Tabasco poured on it?
Exactly. Whereas there are people that I know who their idea is like, oh, let me find the hottest sauce that I can, dump it on so that's all I can taste. Okay, you know, if that's your thing, great. But for me, it's all about the heat of it enhancing the other flavors in the food. And that's, to me, what hops do in beer, you know? It's a component of the beer. It's there to provide its own flavor, but also to enhance some of the other flavors that are there. If all you can taste is that one component, it's not very interesting at that point.
Unless you, for some reason, are mad in love with that one component.
Well, which is funny, because like, if you look up Hop Devil on some of the like big rating sites, people love this stuff. And my only theory is that it's people that are super into hoppy beers, or
they have a sadomasochistic hop love.
I mean, type that into Google, see what it comes up.
I rub hops on my nuts.
I don't think it's going to have anything to do with beer.
No, probably not. Probably not.
So, I don't know. I mean, for me, definitely not my kind of beer. But,
that I would know.
Kate's already Googled it yesterday.
It's already my saved searches.
She saved searches that shit up.
For it.
No, like
anything Hop Devil. I mean, you know what's going to be.
You're getting fucked.
One that I bought, it was something someone brought over to my house, and you know, they're like, "Oh, hey, you like crazy beers? Here, try this." You know,
that's.
I like how they hide it.
How they hide what? The hop and the devil. I'm actually having a significant hard time trying to figure out if I could finish this beer. I don't think I could do it. Not that my stomach hurts or anything. It's just my tongue continues to just light up with like sour, like it's just bitter sourness. And every time it's still, I haven't taken a sip for at least a minute and a half. Nothing. Like it's still really sour.
And I'm in the same boat. I'm still tasting the beer, and I don't want that. You know,
it's like if you ate 5 jalapenos. You know, your mouth gets so hot that when you drink hot anything, you have a hot, like I don't know, like somebody brings over a meal or maybe like some nachos or something, and the sauce is hot. It's amplified the heat because your mouth is like, fuck, what are you doing to me? You're raping my face, right? And you're like, I you don't know.
First rape reference.
I like how your mouth knows that your face is being raped.
Dude, if you compound the presence of like 10 jalapenos, there's nothing that you can do to get around that flavor, right? No matter what you taste, it's going to have that heat. It's amplified heat, so it's almost ruins whatever it
actually
happens to be.
I can tell you what you should do if you're like milk. If your mouth and your face is on fire because of jalapenos, you should definitely eat a habanero because that'll make it better in perspective.
So that's like yes. So what you're saying is it's like if you're drunk and you don't want a hangover, you drink more.
Exactly.
It's like you just feed into the anger. No, but it's the same thing. It hurts. It makes me sad to think that I can't really drink that anymore. It's got to sit there. So I don't know what I'm going to do with the other three bottles, but you need to really, really love hops to continue drinking. At first, it was like, oh, that's flavorful and tasty. But now I'm like, no, that's actually quite, it's just bad. It's just getting worse.
I wonder if it really is just a chest pounding thing. It's like, you know, oh, you have to really like this kind of thing to really like beer or something, you know?
Or it's just something where you open the beer and you kind of feel bad about not drinking it. Oh, that's just me.
No. Starving kids in China who would love this beer. Wait.
Yes, starving kids. I've done the same thing, Kate, where I'm like, you know what? It's open. I paid a lot of money for it. I'm going to drink the damn thing. But I'm having a hard time. Really, I really have to lift that glass and be like, I'll take a sip. And the sips get smaller and smaller each time, so it's like the pain just keeps going on.
Well, I'm with you because I didn't drink my Bass, so I had one sip of it and said, you know what, that's not for me tonight.
Right, exactly. Although okay. we're still up for debate on whether yours is tainted with age or not. This is right. Fresh and poppy.
If it's actually physically...
Yeah, 85 IBU, too much.
That's a lot.
Yeah.
IBU.
So I also did.
Look how far we've come. We can talk about IBU intelligently.
Yeah, I could fake it.
Ish.
Yeah.
Ish.
Well, I mean, it's pretty easy, right? You're like, okay, something has a lot of bitterness to it, it's 100. If it has none, it's 0.
We didn't even know what IBU was like a month ago.
This is, right. Yeah.
It's 2 months.
No, Doug did, but we're all in
Doug
more
did, yeah. Doug.
But you know what? Here's the difference. Doug never used it. He never referenced it. He didn't pull out his tools.
I think it was Mike that brought that into the
yes.
podcast.
Yeah. It was
CSI
in,
beer.
I was just gonna say, you know, it's one of those things where trying to keep in consideration folks that may or may not be listening, mostly may not be listening to the podcast, talking about IBU is
right. Well,
you know, we were trying to be like, hey. You should probably drink because honestly, it's fun and it can be, you know, entertaining, and at the same time, it can be tasty. Not like
bringing the statistics.
This particular
and the
beer style should have X IBU because of blah 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 blah.
No, but you can still bring it to the common man. Like you can still say, "Look, this is a number. This is important to people, right? If I go to the store, right here on the label, it says 85 IBU. I should look at that and go, I'm going to get face raped, right? If I drink this beer, I'm going to have a problem. Now, if you...
I like knowing it.
Right. If you know that my favorite beer is a let's say, 30 IBU, right?
Yeah.
If you go to the store and you see an 85 or 70 or 60, you're gonna understand. Your expectations are going to be set. And you don't have to even know who the brand, the style, any of the make, model, manufacturer. You just have to go look at it and go, that's too much for my palate. I don't like that. Right?
Right.
It's a good number. They should have it. It should be more predominant. I mean, I guess the problem is it would be 0 with most mass market beers. But for all the macro, micro beers, they should have an IBU to give you a clue of whether you're going to like their beer or not. Because if it's an 85, I'm not going to taste it. Now, I would because I'm an idiot. But most people are going to go, I'm not going to buy 85 IBU. That's not in my range. So they're not going to tell their friends that beer is awful, right? Because they didn't bother to taste it because they already have an expectation set. If I taste this blind, I'm going to look at this and go, no, I would never recommend this beer. It tastes like sand lit up on fire, which would be called Coke, on my tongue, right?
I actually believe that's glass.
Sand on fire, right.
Glass,
on your tongue, which
coal.
Is Coke.
Yeah.
Isn't that like lava?
I was trying to go back to the beginning and make a reference to Circle of Life thing, but you ruined it.
I did?
I don't know. No, I probably ruined it. I probably burned it. No, like, it gives you an expectation of what to expect, and then you won't recommend a beer or not recommend a beer because you thought it tasted like ass. You would know ahead of time and never taste it. Or if you did, you could be like, yeah, I'm not going to like that beer. It's like 65 IBUs. I like it 15. Right.
Just to put that in perspective, I just Googled Budweiser IBU, and it has 11 IBUs. And Coors Light has 9, so...
Oh, it's less.
It definitely gives you an idea of...
Right. Yeah.
What about Keystone? Isn't that their marketing campaign, the Never Bitter Beer?
Really?
Oh, yeah. Probably.
Keystone. Yeah. Keystone IBU. Oh, God.
Stone's Ruination IPA has 100 IBU.
What?
Anyway, I'm totally getting off of topic.
That's crazy, though.
Yeah.
Keystone Light Brewery Coors Milling IBU 4.13.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's probably the lowest of anything.
Yeah. And it's funny because Miller has a commercial. Did you ever see the hop? They have like triple hop or whatever they call it. It shows it in the commercial. It has three little hop pictures.
No.
I don't know what the fuck it means, but maybe it means it has flavor as opposed to water. I don't know. Did I tell you guys I went to Heidelberg a couple weeks ago? That was pretty cool.
No.
Thought I'd mention that. I drank some beer there. That's what I do. I drink
beer.
That's
very cool.
Yeah, I drank 12 beers. It was funny. I was in there with my German colleague who said, like, he's, I don't know, 6'7". No, he's probably not that tall. But,
or Reinhardt.
Yeah. Right. What do you think? He's 6'5"? What are you?
I'm 6'3". He's got to be 6'7".
Really?
Dude, Joe, yeah. Dave's like 7'10".
Well, Reinhardt.
7'4".
Yeah, Reinhardt could press Dave, right?
Yeah, so, Reinhardt makes me look tiny.
So we're in the hotel in Heidelberg, and he's like, oh, let's go grab some beers because it was Friday and we were kind of done for the week. So he orders a beer. After the third beer, I'm like, I'm going to get a Caipirinha. So I order a Caipirinha, and then I drank that, and I'm like, okay, that's got more alcohol than a beer. And so I decided I'll go back to the, I think we were drinking Bitburger. So I'm like, I'll go back to the Bitburger. We got, I think it was about 12, and I started losing focus on him. Right, so he's standing right there, but he's, you know, 6'7". I can barely see him because my eyes are starting to split. And I'm like, shit. Because every time the waitress comes over, he's like, I'm like, oh, shit, another one. So here she comes over again, but she brought the fucking check because they closed. We closed it, right? I was like so thankful because nice. I'm looking at, she's walking over. I'm like, oh, shit. I seriously don't know if I can get up from my plane if she brings another beer. And she came over with a check. I'm like, thank God for small favors. But it was a good time. I went to a absinthe house in Heidelberg, which has 300 different absinthes. It was really neat. A small place. It's probably the size of my recording studio. But they had 300 different absinthes in there. They had like reds and fruits and blues and crazy shit. It was a good time. I had a good time.
One of the drunkest times I've ever had in my life has been with Reinhardt. And it's just a bad idea to try to keep up with him. He's way too big.
Yes. He always tells the stories of Dave.
Yes.
It's always a good time. I try never to let it get to that level, but it was Friday, and I was trying to be nice. Alas, it did not work. But you know what? It's fucking midnight. It's time for bed. So what I hope we did here is we gave you, I think we hit a wide spectrum. We got some local brews from North Carolina, which apparently if you go to North Carolina, you're going to want to try Carolina Pale Ale or the Oktoberfest if you want the best beer in the world.
Yeah, the Carolina Brewing Company, the Carolina Oktoberfest is by far one of the, if not the best beers I've ever had in my life. It is so just perfect. Perfect. It's a perfect beer.
If you don't want necessarily perfect, but middle of the line, acceptable to most, I would say Samuel Adams Pale Ale. Good one. If you and you know what, I would put Sam Adams Pale Ale right. You know what, I would put it behind Sierra Nevada because Sierra Nevada kicks ass in that category. Harpoon IPA kicks ass in that category. If you're going with the IPA, although, you know, if you want an IPA that's not dumb to truckload of hops on it, you want to try the Harpoon. Sam Adams, if you can find it, I think is a pretty good deal. UFO Pale Ale is something you should try and experience because it's got that nice citrus to it. So overall, I think. Double pale ale. I don't know. I know where Flying Dog's going with it, and they made the warning, 85 IBU. You know what you're getting if you get in your hands into that. That's up to you to decide if you want something that's that overhopped and that bitter. But that is a little taste of a pale ale. So this is Derek for Doug, Dave, Kate, and our podcast producer, Luke. I'm not going to say his last name because it's always weird. You've just been buzzed by Everyday Drinkers. Check us out on everydaydrinkers.com. Go back to the archives. See if you can find the episode in which Doug starts off the show drunk because he hit himself with a hammer. If you find it, send me an email.
If you find it, tell us about it because we would like to know which one it is.
Yeah, and then Kate can listen to it and she can laugh along with everybody else because that was, some people said, the most, like, just funny episode ever in existence. So there you go. And now, fade to black, music rolls.
I've got show notes here. I guess I'll start it up. That way we don't lose anything funny. Oh, shit's funny. It's already landing on the screen. All right. Here we go. How do I do this? Oh, yeah.
Got to wonder about the first person who decided to burn dirt.
1642, baby. That was the year. That's when they were like, holy shit, we can make beer from this.
No, that was the first year that everybody was so fucking bored. They just, like, tried burning everything.
Right, and they finally got something to work.
Yeah, and they're like, have you burned dirt yet? And they're like, no. Should we try? And somebody was like, well, we don't have fucking shit else to do. It's 1642. Let's try it.
Right. And they were probably like, look, we make fires on the ground, and the ground doesn't light on fire, so then we'd all be dead. So how come the earth hasn't burned down yet? So, you know.
So let's try to burn it.
Yeah, let's burn it up. You're going to get it hotter. I mean, that's really the answer. But it wasn't until
17... I wonder how many generations it takes for people to figure out when things are toxic versus non.
I think it's pretty quick.
Yeah,
it depends on.
It's really not a generational thing.
Because it wouldn't. There'd only be one generation, right?
Instant.
It's only a certain amount of people. It's a handful of stupid people that we basically keep in our back pocket anytime we want to test some shit out. We're like, hey, I think I have a cure for AIDS. You try it, and it gives you pimples on your forehead.
Wait,
right?
Wait,
and you're like, okay,
on.
That didn't work.
Pick something else, quick.
Chicken wings.
Cure for chicken wings.
Right.
You don't want to cure chicken wings.
Right. Cloning. The cure for cloning.
Because, yeah.
Just go smallpox. Everybody else goes smallpox. Just go smallpox.
How about cancer? Like the most obvious thing you could have chosen.
Fine. You want to go there?
See,
fine. Cancer.
That was an example of the logical mind of the group. The rest of us just don't think that way.
Chicken wings. They both start with C.
I want to cure cloning, what scientists have been trying to learn how to do for the past 50 years. Let's cure that.
Well, you just shoot all the scientists.
Yeah. Cloning can always be solved with gunpowder. I don't know. I just went with everything that started with C.
Sorry.
Incest. I don't know.
Yeah, people learn so
That's
much
a good
from
one.
These podcasts.
That was a good one. Yeah.
How to cure incest. There's got to be a pill for that.
Yeah, definitely cure that.
Wow, I really should
and
start
this
drinking.
Is for Luke, how to cure a longing for Dolph Lundgren.
How waterboarding.
Waterboarding.
Whoa, I'm getting hot just laughing my ass off over here.
New movie out. I think Dolph has a new movie out. I heard it on the radio and I was like, ooh, I'm going to have to ask Luke about that. And I forgot.
It's probably Hawaii 5-0 or whatever. Everybody
I'm actually
going to
Google it, but it's
actually,
with
the Expendables, I believe.
Yeah,
yeah everybody's in that too.
I don't think that he was in that, was he?
Yeah,
Google it. It'll tell you before you finish your search.
Hold on.
Which I'm really hating.
Yeah.
Google.
It's like, you want to search for porn. No, I want to. I don't. Yeah. Yes, you do. No. Yes, you do.
Yeah, but it's going to be like, then it'll show a few images like,
Yeah, he's in it. Dolph Lundgren.
Oh.
Expendables 2010.
Luke will tell us if he's seen it, I'm sure.
Yep.
I don't know if you guys have seen the wiki on Dolph Lundgren, but that dude is like one of the most badass dudes ever.
Well, yeah.
He really is.
He's a man's man, Doug.
Apparently.
I don't even know what that means. We'll leave it at that. English Pale Ales is an instance. Well, I fucked it. Hay, like hay, not for horses. Or no, like hay. Not like
hay.
Not like hay. You know, like, you know what I mean? you know where I'm going with that? Like hay. Like saying hi to somebody.
Like the Fonz.
Yeah. Not like the Fonz, but more like.
Hey.
Yes.
I think we can safely edit that out, huh?
that whole hay thing.
I was confused for a second there. My bad.
Yeah.
I'm all better. Hey.
That's good.
I don't even know what to say.
I've actually never tried the aspirin thing. I've usually just tried to drink less. A bunch of water before I go to bed.
Oh, yeah. Actually, that works too.
The main thing.
Yeah, if you drink enough water, you'll wake up to pee before you throw up and then die. It's like a timer mechanism. I mean, they used it in the war. I mean, it works. Mm-hmm. Anyway, Kate's like, sure, yeah, you don't want to die. Go pee. Just don't pee in your bed.
Or on somebody.
Right. Well, I mean, some people like that. I mean, yeah. Google it. So, Kate.
Or don't, if you don't want to have bad dreams.
Yeah. Before you have bad dreams, Kate, what does a Sierra Nevada taste like? Oh, God.
How come I'm always getting these horrible segues?
I've noticed that, too.
I just noticed it myself.
Speaking of being on people. Hey. What?
The first hit is tinkle tinkle. If you don't like it, don't do it again. She tried it,
dude.
Do any of you poop or pee in front of your boy or girlfriend? Why do people pee on each other? Yahoo answers. Oh, this is gonna be exciting.
Dude,
I'm sorry, Kate. It's your turn.
Wait. This is even better. I did how do I? It seems to know me. So I typed how do I. It says watch Wrath of the Lich King cinematics. How do I watch Wrath of the Lich King in-game cinematics? How do I find my IP address? How do I get a passport? How do I love thee? How do I look? How do I breathe lyrics? I don't even know what that means. How do I know if I'm pregnant? This is weird. Anyway,
Kate, you're totally right. We need to work on the segues because
that was just a bad timing on the fact that.
So I googled why do people pee on each other. Were you guys interested in the results?
I have a hard time breathing. Yes, Doug, I'm super interested.
I'd love to know why people do that.
Well, the best answer on Yahoo Answers is to ease the pain from getting stung by a jellyfish.
Holy shit. Oh,
yeah.
That's very logical.
See, it's practical.
Yeah, it is practical. I've peed on my foot for that before. Not really, but I've seen it on TV.
But I scroll down and open questions in other health is can't stop masturbating? ?
Yeah. Yeah, I'm having a problem myself like right now.
Finish? Yeah.
Speaking about masturbating. Anyway.
Did you finish that?
No, I have... I'm all good.
Okay. So, God, I don't even know.
All right, I'll set you up here. Which is weird.
Yeah. I gotta pee. I'll be right back.
Oh, all right then.
Do we want a second to Kate or something?
Speaking of peeing, Kate. Golden showers.
Do you have anything else to add, Kate?
Let's talk about asparagus. Oh.
Actually, you know what? I'm going to second Doug's opinion. I'm going to go pee before I finish this next review because I'm going to be distracted.
Good idea.
All right, I'll be right back. I'm going to go pee on in the toilet, though, not on like my wife or anything.
You do what you got.
Thank you for that update. We would have been sitting here wondering. I'm watching the video for making a black and tan, and the carbonation definitely looks much more. It definitely looks pretty carbonated in the video.
I mean, personally, I tend to get a little bit iffy about beers if they've been sitting around for too long. I actually got rid of a bunch that was in my basement like a month ago.
Yeah, I found like 3 or 4 spare bottles down there, like a Rolling Rock. And remember buying that. Probably somebody brought over a 6-pack or something and I stuck the extras down there. But yeah, I was like, oh, wait, this is a pale ale. I don't even know why I was digging around down there. I was like, oh, I remembered. I was like, sometimes I have like odds and ends beers down there. And you're always like digging something up from your basement. So I'm like,
yeah, people are always leaving things behind here and they always wind up in the basement. So
But this
harpoon is actually probably part of something someone brought over.
But harpoon's good, right? I mean, you like it, right?
Yeah, it's not bad.
Yeah, it's not bad.
It's doable.
Yeah. So the lens that I bought today, it was Canon. What is it? What did you ask?
The 250 or the 300?
Yeah, it's the 250.
Nice. It's probably the same one I have.
Yeah, it's a pretty nice lens.
It's an IS 55 to 250.
55 to 250, f4 to 5.6, something like that.
Yeah,
I can't remember the exact specs, but
it's a great lens for the money.
Yeah, I like it.
What the fuck are you talking about?
We're talking about when you're peeking into neighbors' houses.
The telephoto. Yeah.
You need to really kind of get in there without them seeing.
Does it pick up my skin tone okay? Yeah.
It does. It
does. Does it? Okay.
I use a little bit of a warming filter. But...
So is this a full motion camera, or are you just taking a snapshot? Because I only want to see full motion.
Oh my god. Of me?
Well, you can do both with modern cameras.
Oh my god, Doug. Doug comes back and immediately assumes.
Okay, Doug. If anybody here was taking pictures of somebody in undress,
that would be weird.
Would it be the guys looking at the other guys? No. And definitely not us.
I love that reaction, though. Of me? No, Doug, no. Nobody lives in North Carolina but you.
Right. You're the only guy that's not a farmer.
I am. Well, no. There are definitely not a lot of farmers here.
You farm peaches, don't you? You got to have something out there.
No, that's Georgia.
Who's peaches?
Tobacco.
I love a good peach.
Lots of tobacco.
Kate?
And cotton.
Speaking of hot peaches, hey...
No, wait, that would be a nice segue. It has to be something really disgusting.
Okay, how about this?
No, I know.
Speaking of dirty peaches.
Hold on, let me Google, why do people poop on each other?
You just do that so I can segue?
Honestly, I begged you guys to think of something disgusting.
You did. You're like, come on.
Bad. That was my bad, I'm sorry.
You're like, you just said peaches in a nice way. All right. I tried my hardest to try and
stop talking. I didn't hear what that was. I don't want to know.
No, I don't either.
Yeah, don't look that up.
Don't.
Oh, Doug, you said something about a double pale. You were going to tell me what that was. Are you lying? When I said double pale ale, double dog, double pale ale, you said you were going to tell me something about that.
Oh.
Or were you talking about the double dog? Because
no,
I think that's a sexual position.
No.
Kate?
I was just going to do it. I was going to do it. I was about to say. Speaking of sexual positions, Kate, would you like to explain to us?
Save me some time there.
I was trying to figure out how to slide in missionary somehow, but it didn't work too well. Well, anyway.
Speaking of drinking a lot, did I tell you guys that I got pulled over by 50 state troopers about a week ago?
Why?
50 at the same time.
Only
50? At the same time.
Dude, that's like
training.
Nothing.
That's just training.
No, it was they were setting up sobriety checkpoints near my town.
And they were wanting to know if you wanted help?
Yeah, they had like 50 cops in a parking lot waiting to harass people.
Oh, yeah, because you can't have one cop going through everybody. So you got to have a whole fucking crew.
Exactly.
Why? Well, for what, Labor Day?
No, this was a couple weeks ago, actually.
Where? In your town?
Yeah.
Dave.
Isn't
nobody
it like
lives
a town
there.
Of 10 people?
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. It's a weird place to have it.
It's like maybe Route 3, you know? Or, I don't know, Nashua, Main Street.
No, this was
3A,
on just like a one lane each way.
111.
Yeah, technically, it's a state highway, but just barely.
Realistically, 111 would be the best because that's like the artery of Massachusetts and New Hampshire. Just nobody ever takes it because there's too many fucking town squares. But that's the perfect place to have. You know, a sobriety. Fucking, where the hell do you live? Like Groton or some shit? You can't have a. How many people are they going to arrest? Oh, 50 troopers. If they arrest everybody in the town, they made $100. But then they got to pay for them to sit in jail. So did you pass?
I did, yes. Oh. It was just a weird thing. Anyway.
That's weird. Maybe. I don't remember if this was supposed to be an episode Luke wanted to be on because of some pale ales that his roommate was brewing. I can't remember what he was brewing last time I talked to him.
Was tweeting earlier that we were missing
you were
Luke.
Tweeting
holy shit
we have we is there a tweet
Twitter.
Is there a podcast tweet?
Twitter. Yeah.
What are you? You're
anyway. Twitting? I just said that, you know, we were doing this podcast and that we were missing Mike and Luke, and Mike said that he has a pale ale, but it'll won't be ready for. He said it's in the fermenter, but it'll be ready in a couple weeks. So it's too bad that we didn't hold off, but maybe the next podcast we have, he can talk about it.
Damn it, he can, because now everybody's going to be completely edumacated on it.
Yeah.
Wait, can I go ahead and say, ha ha, who the fuck's Mike?
Hey, come on.
Yes, you can.
This is a joke. Point, I wasn't on that episode where you were like,
at this point,
that?
It should be a running joke.
You didn't have to be on that one because that was crazy.
I'm sorry, I didn't listen to that one, but I heard about it later.
So. No, you need to go back. Let me
Should
see.
I?
That was one of my favorite episodes.
That was,
remember which one it was?
everydaydrinkers.com/pod. I don't even know my own URLs. Oh, look at Red Ale's right on the front cover. What were we drinking? Shit. I wonder if I search for Doug and Drunk. I think there's too many hits for that.
It was a while ago, I think.
What?
I'm going to say...
That's so not nice.
It's not my fault. Barbecue cocktails?
Yeah, it's not mine.
Whiskey, bourbon,
either.
Pilsner.
It's what you make me do.